Hello.
What do you need 2 minutes for?
Am I coming through loud and clear?
Yes, but what do you need 2 minutes for?
I had to finish off.
Finish off what?
What? To finish off making some breaking breakfast for my son.
Oh.
He, of course, waits to the last second when I'm all ready, have my headphones on. I launched Skype, and I'm ready to go, and then he comes and says he wants to eat food. What?
Well,
I said, you ate food yesterday.
you weren't prepared. You had a box of Cheez-Its under your chair, and you say, "Here's two crackers."
Here's your cracker, your daily cracker allowance.
Yeah, and
Be off.
you like make him sit and then throw him into his mouth. One, two, and then he's off on his way.
I said, look, what's more important, you eating food or me doing a podcast?
Yeah, doing the Lord's work.
Come on now. We all know the hierarchy of importance in a man's life.
That's right. Doing a podcast is up there. You're not a man unless you podcast.
So I apologize for being 2 minutes late.
What do you mean? It's 8:41. Jesus Christ.
We've
You
been
were
recording
late.
for
You were
8
late to
minutes already.
begin with.
I was just about on, I was at my computer on time.
That
That's the
doesn't
important
mean shit. That's not the important part.
It's not my fault if
What does your
Skype
employer think of this stuff
takes a
about
while to
on being
start
on
up.
time? Your philosophy on being on time.
I'm always relatively on time for work. To a
Relatively.
varying degree. I don't check in and check out, so
God.
my employer trusts my timing abilities.
Yeah.
Prompt arrival.
Forget it. You're probably late to every meeting.
Try to be on time for meetings.
You try?
I try. I do try.
But you plot.
Occasionally,
You fail.
I fail.
That's not good. So
I
what
think I'm
do
in a meeting next week at very early in the morning, 6 or 7. That'd be a rough one to be on time for.
Why was it a international or what?
It's international.
Oh,
I hate those
Lord.
international meetings.
It's like, damn, that's early. You can't call in from home.
It will be from home.
That's still early. You're still in bed at that time.
I'll still be doing my meeting in my pajamas.
That's why we do this podcast so damn late, is because you can't get out of bed.
This is very early. I just got out of bed.
It's 9:43, your time.
That's early. Yes, very early.
I've
I
been
haven't even
ready
put
since 6:30, ready to
I don't even have any
go.
clothes on yet.
Yeah. You should get dressed before you podcast.
Look professional.
Yeah.
I
Put
will
your
when we do
tie on.
our 300 ep episode video cast.
That's coming up soon.
I will wear my suit.
You're gonna wear your suit?
No.
I
I will
think you should.
probably
That's when you shouldn't dress up because
wear
we get our Patreon from Nerdy Legion just to watch your body wonderland.
I'll wear a suit and take it off slowly
I
as
thought
the
you're
episode
gonna do like
progresses.
Chippendale-ish, right? Podcast stripping. Then we'll
If there
have
was
like
something.
a number they can call and they can leave comments. They can tell you like, take off your tie now.
Could do that if we do
Sully.
a live stream.
I want you to unbutton your cufflink.
But if we do a live stream, we won't be able to edit it like we do to our normal episodes and take out all the profanity and all the inappropriate
Yeah,
talk.
that's 'cause you're in charge of editing. And you haven't
I'm always,
edited
well, that's
it.
because I always say, hey, Mike, I'm ready to edit that episode now. And you're like, I already posted it.
Yeah.
Damn, lay it again.
So did you get over your struggle coming up with a title?
For my screenplay?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
You got over it.
I have it. I finally decided on a title. So I wrote this Christmas screenplay.
Well, don't give
I've
the
worked on it
title
for
away because somebody could
several
steal it.
years. Yeah, they're not going to.
It's called Santa in My Pants.
It's called Santa Banana.
Santa Banana. It's
I was
coming out in
struggling.
ba it's coming out in Boundless.
Santa's banana.
Jungle Girls and Santa Banana.
Santa's banana. Need to, yeah, I need to write that one down. Yeah, so screenplay's done. How's the title? That was the last thing I needed to do. I'm terrible at titles. I just can't come up with them. I'm
And now,
awful.
who's gonna fund it? Do you put it on the interweb and say, who's gonna do this piece like they did your last film?
No, because this is like a full-length one, so I'll have to figure out what to do with it.
Is it gonna star Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't think he's doing movies anymore. Maybe he is.
He does Christmas movies.
He did. He did Jingle All the Way.
There you go. You're
With what's
set.
this? Shit bad, wasn't it?
If you
That one's
could,
done. I'm working on
if
my
you could
next one.
have two actors, I mean, you don't want to definitely give the parts out, but let's just say you have two main actors in your,
Yes.
let's
Who would I
say
want to put
somebody
them?
says, shit, we want to produce this, and it's Disney, and they have a shitload of money because Disney's bought everything, and they're like, Mr. Bohmer, this is the most
Disney-esque
miraculous
movie
thing,
I've ever heard of.
Disney-esque movie we've ever seen, Santa
They
Banana.
say, "We only wish Walt was still alive to
Yeah, to see this
see this."
masterpiece. Yeah. And then, and you could pick the two actors. We're going to let you, as the writer, pick two actors to play these parts.
Okay. Who would I pick? I don't know. I never th That's one thing I don't do is think about who. Like some people, when they write a screenplay, they'll think about like actors. It probably makes sense because then you can put the actor's face. Like it helps you associate the part to someone. Maybe like for the main dude.
And
Maybe
don't
like
say
a.
Laurel and Hardy either. You already stole those from me.
Those are already. I'm already using them in a different way. I can't use them in every thing I
Never.
write. Although, you just gave me an idea for this next piece, the next thing I'm working on.
Santa Banana 2.
Oh man, yeah, that'd be great for this next one. Let me write this down. Thank you for this idea.
I still, you steal all my ideas.
Your ideas are all the same, though. Laurel and Hardy is
And you fall for
copywritten, and I can't legally do it. And I gotta be very
it.
careful. And I gotta deny that they're based on Laurel and Hardy. It's
You
an
can't.
homage. Can I do an
Can you do
homage?
that? Like, what's the borderline of satire? What's the? Do you know how far you could push it? Because I know a friend of ours that does like Jesus candles with NBA basketball stars. How far can you push that as satire?
I don't know. And I think some of the stuff they do on in Artist Alley, they're pushing it beyond the allowable constraints of satire.
Well, Artist
But it,
Alley definitely because they just do prints
yeah,
without
they just do prints
the
of superheroes. If
No,
you do like a mashup.
I'm talking about no, this is a friend of ours. I'm not going to say who, but I'll tell you afterwards, but he does you know Catholic candles that have the staining tint
Yeah, I know
on
what you're
them.
talking about. Yeah, the ones you
Yeah,
see in the grocery
and they usually
store.
have like Jesus or
Like
Mary or
Mary, yeah.
yeah, all the saints, any kind of saint, Santos. Well, somebody we know does the same sort of thing, but he'll do it with like Steve Curry and all the basketball players in the NBA,
Oh
the
yeah,
Golden State
all those
players.
guys, yeah.
Yeah.
All those guys.
Yeah, those guys, those
Like
hockey players.
the Rock and
He's a good basketball
Vin
player, right?
Diesel.
Vin
Vin
Diesel.
Diesel. So are the basketball, are they kind of like in a saintly position, or like do they have like halos and stuff, or are they
Yeah.
like religion? So I guess you could call that like a satire because it's mashing up two things.
Yeah, I just don't know how where the fine line is, 'cause it's got to be just up to, I don't know, it's got to be a strange rule.
Yeah, because you just put like just the straight basketball player on like a cup or something, I think you'd be in trouble. Like you can't do, or like the NBA logo, or well, you can't do logos for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I guess superheroes is the tough one because yeah, all those ones where they're just doing superheroes, I'm sure they could get in trouble, or even like the anime stuff. But you can do something in the style of like a popular anime. I don't know. It is a fine line.
Yeah, strange rules.
But in the case of my
And now you're
of
stealing Santa from me, 'cause I own the rights to Santa Claus.
Santa is public domain.
No, I own him, so
Yes.
sorry. I bought him years ago,
You can't.
and I
Now
copyrighted it.
Rudolph is copywritten. You can't use Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
I can.
You bought
I
that
bought that too.
too? Wow.
So anybody that's listening, if you want to use any of those properties, just we'll talk about prices.
And you can't use
Contact
Laurel and
me.
Hardy because they're
Oh,
copyrighted as well, or
I bought
trademarked.
those too. That's why I keep mentioning them.
Wow, that's a good investment. Because there was a
Yeah.
movie coming out. You're gonna be, so you licensed it out for the movie, huh?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of money because of the Halloween movies. I licensed my own name out.
You did license your name out for
Yeah.
those. Smart. You're just a child too.
I
You're
was.
very forward thinking. And now look, now there's even a new movie.
Yes, there's a new
So
movie.
the money just keeps rolling in. After all these years, you must be thrilled, because you probably spent all the money from the original movies on licenses,
Yeah.
subsequent licenses.
But you know, I have a friend, okay, and he works in Florida. He was a coworker, and I'd work with him, and he sort of got into a predicament where his company lost a lot of work, so he could only work half time, and he decided to take his vacation, I guess, like whatever he's built up, because he's been accumulating it forever, and he was already at maxed out. And he decided to write a book. So I was like, that's pretty interesting. You know, you go, it's kind of like, you know, we work in technical type work, and then you just say, I'm gonna take a break and write some fiction.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I'd write some fiction. So, did he finish this book?
Yeah, he finished it. I
Did
think
you
he's
read
been
it?
working on it. No, I didn't read
Oh, you
it.
don't read books.
I don't read books.
Did he release it? Like, is it available?
I
Or is
don't
he
think so.
still finalizing it?
I think it's a project like yours.
That never ends, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like my book that I never finished.
Yeah.
I want to go back to my book. See, that's what I would do. I'd finish my stupid book that I have a terrible first draft of. I would go back and do another draft, fix it up. I'd love to be able to work on that.
Yeah. There's no time.
And I don't have enough time.
There's no time, man.
And then just like a couple of days ago, I came up with a new idea that I want to do.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I don't know. It's a mash of two things
Yeah, they've done
that
that
I
before.
like. It's a mash of two different things.
They do that, though. You know, Quentin Tarantino did that from Dusk Till Dawn. That's two mashups of two
What's that a
different
mash? Oh
things.
yeah, that is a mash.
A crime noir and then vampires. I mean, it's.
Monsters and Well, this is a mashup like you haven't seen
there was,
before.
There was one
well, yeah,
that
you've seen it before, probably.
Well, there's a mashup that's coming out from J.J. Abrams coming soon. It's I forget what the name of the film is, but I'm gonna go see it. It's a World War II. It takes like a serious World War II movie premise.
Yeah, that's what mine was gonna be. Is World War II.
And throws them into a monster premise.
Yeah, monsters. Wait. But we've seen that before, like in that that Avatar book. Isn't there the Civil War monster mashup?
I'm trying to think of which one you're talking about. Streets of Glory? What are you talking about?
No, in their goddamn, what's it called?
Oh, cinematography
or whatever. Yeah,
I don't remember too much from that.
Right, we gotta go back to that. Was it The Vast? I think it's The Vast. That's by what's his name, Max, whatever his name is.
Max Headroom?
Yeah, Max Headroom. I think it's Max.
Max Allen Collins?
No. The guy who writes movies.
I can't think of it right now. I'm too old for this shit.
I know. But that's a mashup of monsters and Civil War. I'm going to look up Avatar, Vast. Oh, Avatar the movie. Damn it.
I'll at least get you Max Brooks.
I said Max Brooks. I knew it was a Max. Woof. My memory is spot on today. I am on the ball. I'm a young man. I feel like a young man. Remembering names partially.
That's good enough.
So J.J. Abrams is doing a World War II monsters?
Yeah, it looks really good. I saw the preview for it a long time ago. It's like called like Overlord or Over something. I can't remember what it is.
Okay. Well, that would be fantastic. Is it monsters or aliens?
Monsters. I think it's sort of like the Nazis are doing super soldier serums and turning their people into monsters.
Okay.
Through experimentation. That's what it looks like to me.
So it's like that other Avatar book. Uber.
Yeah, well, that's an alternate history thing. That's if the Germans won the war, right? And had superpowers.
I don't remember. I just remember there's super soldiers during the war.
There's something funky going on with Boundless and Avatar right now. You know what it looks like to me, personally? Based on what I've seen in previews, it looks like they're going out of business.
They definitely are in a financial crisis of some sort.
Yes, because they're putting up their hardcovers and softcovers for like really cheap.
Yeah, they're dumping.
And they're not putting anything new. Yeah. It's like they're cleaning house.
It's like the Ace Hardware by my house. They're not bringing any new merchandise, so they're just selling. They don't have like a sale going on, but they're selling as they sell stuff. They're not restocking, so there's like empty shelves. That's like, they say they're not going out of business. They just need money. But I don't know how you don't go out of business once you empty your store.
Well, that's interesting because we have an Ace by our house. I love it. Like, I like it way more than those big Home Depot and Lowe's. And then they treat it more personal. Like somebody could tell you, oh, you're fixing the toilet. This is what parts you need. You know, they'll tell you, and they'll say, okay, this one, this is how you do it. They're very knowledgeable there. And even though the store is compact, they have almost everything you need to do anything except for lumber.
Yeah. It depends what you're going for sure. I usually go to Ace for most of the stuff, because they'll have like the small stuff. Yeah. I mean, if you want something obscure, then you have to go to a bigger place. But I like it. Yeah, it's just easier. Easier to find stuff.
We're sponsored by Ace, by the way.
So. Today's episode is brought to you by Ace Hardware. Visit your local Ace Hardware stores.
That's where we get all our bird food from.
Come for our wide selection of bird seed.
Yeah, Barb's like, they know her by name. Oh, you're coming for bird food.
Set aside a bag for her. So yes, my I have a title for my script.
Well, that's good.
On to the next
You
thing.
sounded pretty stressed out, like it was driving you crazy.
It was. I could not figure out a name. It sucked. I hate names. God, I suck at them.
You didn't like my name, though. Is it because it becomes no longer all ages?
What was your name?
I give you lots of them. But I don't want to give
Oh,
away.
for the movie.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away because it kind of describes your plot.
Yeah, you veered from the all ages category.
Yep.
It's the triple X category.
An elf in his pants.
I like that one. I'm gonna use that for another.
Yeah,
It's another concept I'm working on. I almost said the title, but I'm not gonna say it.
it's
It's too valuable.
too viable, it's worth money.
That is one thing when I was coming up with possible titles, I did come up with some titles that I could use for other stories. Like they sparked new ideas. Like, oh, that would be a good. That's not my movie, but that could be a good movie. I have to write that one too. But then I'll just end up writing a bunch of Christmas movies, which is
Yeah.
fine. I like Christmas movies, so.
What's your favorite? Not to put you on the spot, but you should at least know what one of your favorites is.
Yeah, I have two favorites. One of my favorites is called Snowball Express,
Never seen that.
which is it's a Disney movie, and that one I mostly like for nostalgic reasons. Like I saw it when I was a kid. We actually watched it in school when I was a kid, and I always loved that movie. It's about a it's about it's more of a winter movie. I think there's I don't even remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. But anyway, the other one is it's called Through the Night.
I never heard of that one either.
That's with my favorite actress, Barbara Stanwyck, and Fred McMurray.
Ah, wasn't Fred McMurray on My Three Sons?
He was on My Three Sons.
Oh God, I used to love that series. It's showing on MeTV now.
It is, because whenever I do a search for Fred McMurray, it shows a bunch of My Three Sons. Yeah, I love Fred McMurray. I think
Oh
he's very
man.
underrated.
My Three Sons was the shit. I liked it. Chip and all those kids. Oh, that's just awesome.
And Through the Night is about Fred McMurray is a lawyer, and Barbara Stanwyck was arrested for something. I can't remember now what she was arrested for, but she's going to trial, but then for some reason the trial gets postponed till Monday, and she has nowhere to go for the weekend. So, and he's going to like visit family. So I can't remember why, but for some reason he takes her with. Oh, he gets like c custody of her. I guess there's no room in the jail or something, and he gets custody of her for the weekend. So they spend the weekend visiting his family
I'll have to
Christmas.
watch these recommendations that you choose for before Christmas, 'cause I've never seen them.
These are my very obscure.
I tend to fall into the stereotypical movies for Christmas.
Oh, like Christmas Vacation.
That's my favorite. I
Yeah,
love Christmas
that's
Vacation.
a
Like
good.
it to me
That's my wife's favorite
it's
too.
the one that just keeps on giving.
That is a good one. What else? What other ones do you like?
I like Miracle on 34th Street.
Classic.
The original, the black and white. And for some reason, I didn't care for the new
Was there a
one.
remake? I didn't even know there was.
Yeah. Well, they put him on trial for actually being a fraud in that
Oh,
one.
yeah, I do remember something about that.
I like the one that they play 24/7 on TNT. What is that one with the leg lamp? I forget what
Oh,
that's
Christmas
called.
Story.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Of course, that's a classic. And his sister movie, Black Christmas.
That one's interesting. Silent Night, Deadly Night. Black Christmas. That gets into the Halloween themes for Christmas.
Yes, the Christmas horror movies.
I think those are the top three that I like to watch. At least I watch every Christmas. I haven't even seen like the one that's like the supposed to be the one of the better films that has a famous actor. I can't remember who it is. It's like black and white. Can't think of it. So old.
Talking about It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I've never
You haven't
seen
seen
that.
that? Oh, it's a fantastic movie.
Well, it must
Yeah, you
not
gotta
be too
watch that one.
fantastic. It's not one of your favorites.
No, my favorites, I don't know. I always like more obscure stuff. I gotta be like, well, I need more pretentious selections
Yeah,
than.
you need to like show everybody up. You're like, what? You probably like Googled like right when I asked the question, and you're like, huh, I wonder
What's the
what
most
Mike has never
obscure
seen
Christmas
before.
movie?
And
I just looked up
then I'll
obscure
just make
Christmas
up some
movies.
shit about it. I saw it at school when I was a child, and it was a Disney production.
See. It's called Christmas on
Just
the
so you could throw
Planet.
out some shit that nobody's watched.
Oh, did you ever see Christmas on the Island of Misery?
No, I have
It's a
not.
gripping silent movie from the early 1900s.
You have not seen that one either.
I do also like Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah, those are all right. I see those every now and then because when I go home, it's strange. Like we sit after we prepare like meals and stuff. We prepare really early because either my mom has a big party or my aunt. It's like there's really not much to do except gather around the TV and we'll watch a Hallmark movie. It's like.
That's a good time. Hallmark movies are great because they're predictable, but they're always, I don't know. There's
Yeah.
something about them.
Feel good.
Yeah, feel good. That's it. They're all feel good movies. About the Christmas spirit.
Well, I like what I consider a Thanksgiving movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I like it because I think it brings home like what Thanksgiving's about in a very indirect way.
Yeah, and that movie's just good for just the transformation of
The
the John
characters.
Candy character, yeah, and the revelation.
Well, I don't think that he transforms at all. I think he's genuine.
But his is more,
John
yeah,
Candy's genuine.
revelation.
Steve Martin is the one that forms the tra he does the
It
transformation
transforms.
of how he what he thinks about things. Like he's a very different person at the end than he was at the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. I love that movie though. Like I don't know what it is, but I've been in the mood for comedies. Like I'm supposed to be watching horror movies lately, but I've been like comedies in the
The
90s and
comedies.
stuff. Yeah, that's what I've watched. Like I rewatched like this is probably the fifth time I've seen it, but I think the chemistry between the actors is so freaking amazing, and the timing is Meet the Parents, man, with Robert De Niro and what's his name? Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while, but
Oh
yeah, that
my
was a.
God, the timing is just like it's just amazing because he just like digs himself deeper as time goes on. Like he loves that woman so much that he'll spray paint a cat and fake it, like he makes up stories and shit, and he just gets it worse because he breaks that circle of trust, but he's doing it for like a re another reason just to get approval from the parents.
Yeah, his motivations are pure, but his methodology is
Yeah. But
questionable.
he's an extreme circumstance. I mean, this guy was like ex-CIA and he's like a human lie detector. So yeah, I rewatched that this week, and then what else did I rewatch? I rewatched Anger Management. Did you ever see that one?
Which one is that?
That one's Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson.
I think I saw it, but I do not remember it. I'm
Yeah,
sure I've seen it.
that one involves a guy that's like just kind of abused his whole life, and he just like lets the anger build up. And he gets assigned in the court to this crazy doctor, which
Oh,
kind of steals his
yeah.
girlfriend. Marissa Tomei's in it too. I think Marissa Tomei is just absolutely beautiful. I've always thought that since I saw My Cousin Vinny. God, she's amazing. And she's still smoking when, like, even in Spider-Man, she's Aunt May now. But that's another one I saw, and then I saw Dumb and Dumber again.
Wow, you're going for all the classics.
Well, there were ones to me that have like a timeless aspect to it. And Kingpin is another one. Like I think it's amazing. I have found that I really love what's his face from Cheers, Woody Harrelson. I am just a
Yeah.
fan of his. He's in Anger Management too. He plays like a male prostitute that dresses like a woman. He calls himself Galaxia.
I don't remember that. Maybe I've never seen this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I remember when it came out, but yeah, I don't know if I ever saw it. I have to correct that. Yeah, Woody Harrelson, he's good in the Hunger Games movies.
I like him in general. I just think he's fantastic. Did you see Venom yet?
I've not seen Venom.
There's a Woody Harrelson connection.
Ah.
I just like him a lot. I even in White Man Can't Jump, I dig that. He's good.
Yeah, and he seems to get a lot of work because you always see him in stuff.
Yeah.
Never as the lead, though. Has he been the lead in anything? He
White Man
must.
Can't Jump, he was the co-lead with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, I guess he's done.
Man, it's hard to think about like him as a lead, like a
Sure he
leading.
has, but I don't know if he has in his bigger movies.
Yeah, I'm sure he has been in a couple of movies, but he always seems like he's a supporting cast member. Like I caught on to Cheers really late. Like, man, it was like already, it was late in the seasons.
Yeah, I was never that. I know
Cheers
this
and
is
Night
awful to
Cheer,
say. I was
Cheers
never
and
that
Night
into
Court.
Cheers.
Well, Cheers and Night Court were on the same night, and I
Yep,
found
I
them like
remember.
really late in my. So I haven't even seen them all, but the ones I have seen, I thought it were pretty damn funny. Barb, can you think of a movie where Woody Harrelson was the lead?
Trying to look through the list of
Beside White Man
movies.
Can't Jump.
He was in that Wilson movie. I guess he was the lead in that.
Wilson? Was that a fiction?
That was the one based on the comic. It was like
Oh.
an indie movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That was what was that dude's name? Dan Clowes book. Yeah, some of these other ones. He was in LBJ. He was LBJ.
Haven't seen that one.
I haven't either. I assume he was the lead in that, though.
I know
But I
he's been
do.
in a ton of movies, but like when you think about it, you're right. He's like a secondary actor that's in the movie.
Yeah. Think that's his bread and butter.
Yeah, but he's got good. I like him a lot. He made a good Galaxia. They ask what country when he dresses up like a woman. He has a heavily a German accent, and the Adam Sandler asks, "Well, where are you from?" And he's like, "From licking the dickin' stick or something like that." Licking the dickin' stick. It's a small town in Germany. Yeah, the comedy movies I've been into lately. I've been trying to watch a horror movie every week. And plus, for retro, we have that everybody pick a movie type thing going on.
Yeah.
But I did watch Trick, what is it, Trick or Treats? Or Trick and Treats? I can't remember which one it is. Because there's a couple of movies that have the same title.
There's like an old, there was one in like in the 80s called
Well,
Trick
yeah,
or Treat.
there's one in 82, and it's fucking amazing, man. Like,
I don't know if I've ever seen Trick or Treat.
me and Barb watched it together, and I'm like, what the hell is this? This is like the most original shit I've ever seen. Because it's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. The
Wait,
premise
which
of
one
it,
did you watch? Trick or Treats?
it's, yes, that's the one. 1982.
82. Oh, I never, definitely never saw that.
Well, let me just tell you what the premise is. The premise is what makes this movie so special. It's about a guy that doesn't pay attention to his wife very much. Like, so he's rich, he's well-to-do, right? So she comes up with a plot to get him put into a psycho ward. I don't know how she does it because it never explains it. And then she marries David Carradine. You know, Mr. Kung Fu. And then it just gets wacky after that, but it is, oh man, I was like, wow, this is a hidden gem.
I'll have to check it out. I see that it's on Prime.
Yeah, that's where I watched it. We were trying to pick movies that were on Prime and Netflix.
Oh man, Funland is on Prime. I always wanted to see that movie.
I haven't seen it. Maybe I'll add that one to the queue. Well, I
It's
haven't heard
probably
of fun. I haven't
terrible.
heard of Fun Land. I've heard of Fun House.
This is, I think I've heard, maybe it's from, what year is it from? 87.
Huh.
Maybe I'm thinking of Fun House.
I'm thinking
I
of
don't
Fun
know,
House because
Funland.
I remember the video cassette.
Funland has a clown and a roller coaster on the cover. Man, Amazon's got a bunch of 80s horror movies.
Yeah, but I think some of them are on the that extra. If you pay extra, you get that other package.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Prime ones. Oh wait, here's one. Chopping Mall.
That one's awesome. We watched that last year for retro.
Yeah, I
That one's
remember.
really
That's already
good.
in my list.
You need to watch that one. That one's good. Because I never saw that before recently. I saw it last year for the first time.
Yeah, a lot of these, they're like movies that they're ones that you used to see like in the video store.
Yeah, but you never got around to
Yeah, you
renting.
always saw the box and you're like when you're a kid, you're like, oh man, I want to see that.
Yeah.
And now you can.
Yeah,
Just forget about it.
so that was a really. I like this movie 'cause it had like the
Cool
sensibilities
concept.
that like that I would try to do if I was a writer. Just to be a little bit different, not to
Yeah.
fall into the same plot device. And that's why I like Trick or Treats. That's what I thought it was really good. It didn't fall into the same plot device. It had like some really ridiculous themes, but it worked. And you had
Cool.
David Carradine for like 10 minutes.
The cameo, just so they could put his name on
Yeah.
the box.
Oh, he plays an asshole. He plays the guy that came in that helped the woman frame her husband for money, but he's a schmuck, man. I mean, they have like a babysitter come take care of their brat kid. That's the whole premise of this. And and he's like trying to hit on the babysitter. before he leaves on this Halloween party with his, I guess, his wife now, because he remarried her. But it's an odd movie.
A hidden gem from 82, huh?
Yeah.
Watched a horror movie that I
What'd you
hadn't seen
see?
before. I saw, I think it's called Happy Death Day.
Oh yeah, that one's good.
That's the Groundhog
Groundhog
Day of horror
Day.
movies, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're coming out with the sequel. I saw the preview already.
Are they?
Happy Death Day to, what is it called? To you. Yeah, Happy Death Day to you.
Oh, the
And it's
two.
like two. It has two as the number two. Happy
Very
Death Day
clever.
to
Very
you.
clever. I wonder if I would have come up with that as a title in my list of titles. I probably would have, and people would be like, no, that's too stupid.
Yeah. Well, it had the Happy Death Day was cool 'cause it put itself into Groundhog Day but in a horror movie theme, but had enough comedic tone to make it like something different because it was sort of ridiculous.
Yeah, it definitely had a humor aspect to it
Yeah.
in the middle of all the horror stuff. But yeah, I enjoyed that. Although I did figure out who the killer was early on.
I don't think I did. I think I did like after they showed her like the third time.
I think I just had a sense that
Well,
it
we
seemed
had a
like it
we had a
was.
we had a sense about, I think me and Barb watched it, and there's a scene where she makes cupcakes or something. And that's when we thought, oh, she makes her a cupcake for her birthday.
Yeah,
And
that's the.
she keeps putting the cupcake down. She doesn't eat it. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
I wonder if it's the cupcake. And
Yeah.
it was funny, like at the very end of the movie, the main character is sitting in a restaurant or something with the main guy, and he's asking her, he's saying like, that's almost what happened to you. It's kind of like what happened in that movie Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I don't know. What's Groundhog Day? I've never seen it. You never seen it with Bill Murray? So I thought that was a funny nod to.
Yeah, 'cause they're saying, "Hey, we know we're stealing that idea." You
Yeah,
know.
we know this has been done before.
Yeah. It's smart.
We acknowledge
It's paying tribute to
that,
something.
yeah. Yeah,
I
I thought that
like
was
it. I
a
think
nice
that's a
little.
good way to do it if you're taking an idea. Do you know what I mean? And changing it.
It is, because everyone knows. I mean,
Yeah.
anyone
So
who sees this knows it's
don't be
copying a.
obvious. Just call it out, right? I mean, just say
At
we
some
know.
point,
We
we're
know.
all.
We you know. You know what it is, but we also do. We did it on purpose.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we've seen it too, so we know. We know everyone's seen Groundhog Day, and everyone who's seeing this movie has seen probably seen Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And knows the concept of the repeating day.
Yeah, the that movie, I'm surprised how many of the horror movies have that Blumhouse thing. Like they must make a shit ton of movies for cheap and then make such a profit off of it. Because they don't hire a lot of like big actors. That's one thing they do. They probably do something where they can film the movie like relatively fast, so the production costs are not like astronomical. Yeah, they're
Yeah,
pretty
I'm sure there
smart.
probably is. Yeah, Jason Blum. They do a lot of horror movies.
I saw Halloween, the new one.
They did that.
Yeah, they did part of that, yeah. That one got like a lot of love early on. Like people just going nuts over it. Like Michael Myers returns and here's the setting. I still think the first two are the best.
Man, Blumhouse did do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they did. And they've been successful at it too.
I know they've done Purge, Unfriended, Insidious,
Yep.
Amityville
Mm-hmm.
Paranormal Activity. They did Gem and the Holograms.
That's probably their only flop. That's probably their
All
only
horror
flop.
movies, except for that.
Their horror movies have been well received because they're like blockbusters based on what they pay.
Yeah, well, not all of them, but enough of them
I
to
think they're
keep
all
the rest.
profitable. I think it's like Canon
Yeah.
Films. We saw that documentary. They were pretty profitable on
Let me
low
find
budgets.
one. What's The Darkness? I've never heard of that one.
Are you looking at
Let's see. Oh,
profits
here
or
we go.
what?
Yeah. It received negative reviews but grossed 10 million against a 4 million budget.
See, they're always profitable.
There you go.
No, but it's like trying to find one that is, and it's like very rare.
Yeah, this one couldn't have made money. Oh wait, I've seen this. It's Tooth Fairy. I thought it was gonna be a horror movie, but it's the one with the
What was the profit on that?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Now here we go. Box office. Nope. Gross six. Ooh. Yeah, it made tons of money. Made over 100 million.
So Bill, I think you need to take your Santa movie over to Blumhouse.
That's right.
You see,
Oh, well.
I know it's
But
a
I know
feel
it's not a
good, but
horror.
you guys did Gem and the Holograms,
That's
you could do my movie.
right.
I just
Now
want to see a good profit.
you failed on Gem of the Holograms.
There was a so in this Halloween movie, I don't want to give it away, but it's supposed to take place after the first one. I think it should have taken place after the second one because they were in a
Yeah.
good and they were in a good order, but for some reason they chose not to. And
And that's one thing people don't like is that they disregarded the second one.
it's kind of like if you did Superman and you got rid of Superman 1 and 2. I mean, got rid of 2. Because they go
Yeah.
together, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, they're back to back.
Yeah, they're back-to-back type films. And they kind of did that with Superman Returns when what's his name brought him back. I don't know if they acknowledged Superman 2, but they did acknowledge Superman 1. But I'll have to rewatch that Superman Returns. I liked it. I was one of the few guys that liked it. But the only thing that I, there was one thing that bothered me about this movie is there's a new character that they that takes over the role of like Dr. Loomis. Dr. Loomis was the guy that was following him around in 1 and 2, and I think he was in like 3 and well actually 4 and 5 or something like that. Donald Pleasance was the actor Dr. Loomis. And they have a new guy, and I didn't like the actor at all because he had like this vibe to him, like he was like a character out of like the 1960s or 50s, like just like this black and white vibe, like a crazy mad scientist, and I didn't like it because it felt like it was over. For today's time, it was a little over the top. Like it just felt weird and out of place. I didn't
Okay.
like him. Other than that, it was really good. There were aspects that that drove me insane, which we can talk about once you see it, but it was entertaining. And thank God Barb went like this was weird. Okay, my parents were in town on Thursday and Friday, and I was like, man, my parents love to see films. Like they go to films a lot. That's one of their things they like to do. And
Yeah, that's what retired people see a lot of movies, which makes sense.
but even before they were retired, that was their thing.
They're
Like
into movies.
they love to watch go to the
That's like
movies on the weekend or go to the
my
dollar movies. They're very frugal, so it's like they'll watch stuff that's cheap or go to the early feature.
Yeah, that's like my father-in-law. He goes to movies every weekend. He He's at the movies. Hey, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Movies are enjoyable.
Right. And my parents, even though I love horror, they don't like horror. Like we even have to watch kind of like what we put on the TV over here, because they just don't like that stuff. And my mom, like, we were going to go eat barbecue, and I was like, man, I don't know what to take them to, like, what movie to choose. And my mom says, God, I want to go see Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween. And I was, like, shocked. She goes, I just want to see Jamie Lee Curtis. And I was like, wow. I was shocked that they wanted to see Halloween, because, like, even my mom and dad, they just don't like Halloween movies too much. Ever since my mom saw Psycho, the first one, she just doesn't like to see Halloween movies too much.
Well, then, why did they name you after...
What?
Why did they name you after the killer in it?
Well, she said she's offended because they took my name. But the real reason she wanted to see it, I think, was because of Jamie Lee Curtis. Like, she saw the original, and she wanted to see how Jamie Lee Curtis was now. And, like, we were in the theater. My parents can't hear very well. Like, my mom, Barb is amazed that if you go to my parents' house and they're watching a movie, you can hear it from outside the house. That's how loud things are. And the volume on this theater was, like, really low. Like, I was having a hard time, and I was wondering, man, my parents can't hear. Well, Barb went out and told them, and they turned the volume up, and me and my mom looked at each other and says, wow, I can hear now. Because they had, like, the setting where you could hear, like, the loud stuff, but you couldn't hear the voice. I hate when that happens. But
that's the worst. I hate, like, that about movies.
Yeah, sometimes they have it.
Yeah, the dialogue's so low, and then the sound effects and music are, like,
so
blaring.
Damn loud. Yeah, I don't. I like it to be more equal. You know, like an equal distribution.
Yeah.
So I can hear the voices, but so early on, Barb went and got the volume turned up properly so we could hear it, and that kind of changed the
experience.
Barb
saves the day.
Yeah, she saved the day.
Once again. Well, what did you guys think of the new character they introduced, Michael Myers' sister, Barb?
Michael Myers' sister?
Yeah,
what are
Barb.
You talking about
Sister Barb?
No, there's no Sister Barb.
I thought there was.
It's his wife.
Oh, his wife. Sorry.
What do you mean, Sister Barb? What are you saying, that I married my sister?
Talking about the fictional.
Fictional.
Yeah, I'll have to see that.
There's kind of humor to it if you're a podcaster, too.
Interesting. Podcaster.
They introduce these two yahoos that are podcasters.
Oh, boy. Hope they got what's coming to them.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. But that was good. And then the week before, we saw that this one you'd really like. It's got a little pretentiousness to it in a Quentin Tarantino form. What was that one called? I can never remember that. Bad Time at the El Royale. Have you heard about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to see that one.
That one is good.
I've heard good things.
It takes place at this weird hotel. Like, I'm not going to give anything away, because it's one of those movies, like, a Quentin Tarantino twists and turns. For one thing, you get Tarantino-like characters. Like, they all have, like, this weird motive. Like, they all have weird
hidden motives.
Yeah. All crazy stories, crazy backstories. They're just crazy. But it takes place in this hotel that's awesome, because divided down the middle, it's like Carowinds, like the amusement park in North Carolina, South Carolina that I went to with Micah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we went with who else did we go to? The Knutsons. We went with the Knutsons there too. It's that amusement park is divided in half, where half of it is in South Carolina, half of it is North Carolina, Well, this hotel is half in Nevada and half in California. So it's very interesting. It's
Yeah, and I
split right
heard that
down the middle.
the hotel becomes like another is like another character in the movie,
It is
almost.
because it has a history.
Okay.
And it is good. It is really good. It's like you could have me and you, if we had read this as a comic book, we could probably discuss it for at least an hour. It has that much stuff. And
Yeah, not
the
much
characters are
depth to
so
it.
the characters are so interesting, man. They're so fascinating because every character has a purpose. And the performances, like, what is the main guy, the guy who plays the priest?
Oh, isn't that what's his name?
Todd Bridges? Jeff Bridges. Todd Bridges is old. That's Airplane, right? No, Todd Bridges
No,
is
Todd Bridges is Different
Different
Strokes.
Strokes. Jeff Bridges. I'm not a Jeff Bridges fan, but he is awesome in this. This is my favorite movie with Jeff Bridges. What's his dad's name? Lloyd Bridges?
Yeah, Lloyd. From Airplane.
Yeah, from Airplane.
Yeah,
It's funny hearing old men try to remember names.
I knew it wasn't Todd Bridges,
You
'cause
know
I
who's
know Todd.
getting the white dots pretty bad is Daryl.
Oh yeah,
Listening to
for sure.
Gotham by Geeks, it's affecting him pretty bad. Like over the course of the last 2 years, he's like on a sharp turn, like where he can't remember names.
Well, he's just like a few years younger than us, right?
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, he's trailing us slightly.
Actually, he's ahead of us. I think
Was he
he's
ahead
got
of
it
us?
worse. Yeah.
Oh, in the terms of
The names, yeah.
the white spots. So white spots are growing rapidly.
They're increasing exponentially.
He should switch to a more vegan diet. That would be my advice to him.
I think those meat sweats are starting to
More
get to
fruits and vegetables
him.
to pump some nutrients to the brain.
Well,
Then you'll be able to remember.
Martin did a lot of research on fruits and vegetable cloning, and he says those are bad for you. I believe
Cloning?
him. Yeah, how they clone like a apple tree or something. They'll clone it like a banana.
But isn't plant cloning just where they take a part of it and make a new tree out of it? I thought that's
I
how they
think
do everything.
there's more to it though.
Talk about genetic stuff.
Yes.
I have to listen to that episode. I probably disagree with them.
Well, I see it how it affects you. I don't want any of that.
I'll listen to that episode, and he hopefully he cited his sources.
Hopefully he cited his sources
Got to
because
be careful, Martin. There's a lot of
you're gonna go
misinformation out
attack
there.
him.
There's a lot of disinformation out there. Be careful.
Yeah,
Always pay attention to the source.
just like the beef stuff, it's all fictionalized.
There's a lot of nefarious people out there with agendas.
Yes.
Follow the money, Martin. Follow the money.
Fake news.
Yeah, watch out for the fake news. Hey, do you see a Twitter released like all of the Russian tweets like around the time of the election?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
Barr probably has.
they put it like in a zip file where you can download like all of the tweets that were fake.
Oh, yeah.
It was like million, like I don't know, 14 million or something, some ridiculous number.
And that probably doesn't
Let's see.
include Facebook either.
No, that was just the Twitter ones, yeah. I tell you, don't trust what you see unless you know where it's coming from.
What was the movie called again so I can write it down? I can't th I
Eldorado.
have such a hard time remembering that one.
Eldorado. You can remember that.
A Bad Time at the El Royale.
The Eldorado Hotel.
When I saw the preview for it, it looked like a Tarantino film, and I was like, man, this looks good.
It is
But
very
it exceeded
grotesque.
my expectations. It was the second favorite film of the year. So right behind Searching. Searching was up there. I love that movie. I love that movie Searching because to me it's a thriller that has such a horror aspect to it. Like I found it frightening and I don't have kids. So I can't imagine somebody that has kids, how they could get freaked out about it.
Hopefully it doesn't push me over the edge into insanity.
Yeah, hopefully not. What else have you watched? You have some other movie to put your pinky in the air and say, nobody else has watched this.
I don't know. People have seen this. I saw Exterminating Angel.
What the fuck is that?
That's the 1962 Spanish movie by director. I don't remember
Are you shitting me?
the
You really saw this movie?
No. I did really see this movie. It's a black and
Okay.
white movie from 1962.
Exterminating Angel.
Exterminating Angel.
Man, you really like do this on purpose to show up everybody, don't you?
I watched this because I watched another movie, and in the they had like a little a panel thing, like one of the extra features was a panel, and they mentioned this movie, saying it was similar.
Don't get it confused with Exterminating Angels. Well, this is a. It's really called El Angel Exterminador.
Exterminato.
Yeah, so this really puts your damn pretentiousness in it because you're gonna watch subtitles.
Yeah, subtitles. It's all in Spanish.
Wow, the names of these actors: Letica La Valkyria.
The main one was, is there like Sylvia something?
Sylvia Pinal.
Yeah.
Jacqueline and Deary is Alicia Del Rock. Huh.
Was a big cast. There was like about 20 people, 20 main characters. So the concept behind, I'll do it quickly. The concept behind this is that these, it takes place at these like rich people's house, these aristocrats in, well, it was filmed in Mexico, but I think it was supposed to be like a European type thing because they don't have places like this in Mexico. Anyway, so they're having this party. So they invite all their friends over and they're all like dressed up, you know, in suits and tuxedos and things to this fancy dinner party. And you know something's weird is going on because, well, the movie starts off, some of the staff is leaving, and the guy at the house is like, "You have to stay, we're having this party." And he's like, "No, I have to leave, I have to leave." So the one guy takes off, he says, "Well, if you leave, you don't have a job anymore." And he says, "I don't care," and he takes off. And then there, as the guests arrive, like these two women are trying to leave, like these two, I think they're like maids or sous chefs or something, and they watch the people arrive, and when the people arrive, it was the doorman who left, so they want to put they're waiting for the doorman, but there's no doorman, so the guy's like, "Just put your jacket upstairs," so they go upstairs and the women start to come out, and then all of a sudden the same group comes in the front door again. And they run back, and the same thing happens, and they go upstairs. So that seems like repeated, and you're like, okay, this is going to be a weird movie. What happens is that after they have dinner, and then after dinner, they all go into the like parlor sitting area, and they're all sitting and talking, and someone's playing the piano and stuff. But as the party goes on really late, and then people start to want to leave, but then they change their mind and end up staying, and they find that at some point, it's like 4 in the morning and no one has left. And the hosts want everyone to leave, but no one can leave the room. Like every time they walk towards the door to leave, they decide they don't want to leave and they come back in the room. So they're trapped in this room for like days and they can't get out. And it's about them just kind of fighting amongst themselves and
Why
trying
can't
to.
they get why can't they get out?
They don't know why. They just can't. Like every time they go towards the door, they lose interest in leaving and come back in the room.
They ever explain that?
No. Eventually they figure out how to break the spell or whatever, and they're
But
able
it's
to
not
leave.
like super, it is supernatural, or
It's kind of surrealistic, I would say.
I don't even know what that means.
Like,
so you have to throw that name out there just to, like, let me look at the Wikipedia.
You asked if I watched any pretentious movies. That was the most pretentious one I watched.
It says it's a black, well, plot keywords, surrealism.
There you go. Well, there's one part where, like, this woman, she's, like, sleeping, and then she wakes up in the middle of the night, and she sees this hand, this disembodied hand coming across the floor towards her. And then there's, so at the beginning, during the dinner, the wife of the house was going to play, like, a practical joke where she was going to let sheep in the room and a bear in the room because they have, like, sheep and a bear. But yeah. Then later when they're trapped in the room, the bear is chasing the sheep around the house.
Yeah. 8.2 out of 10. That's a pretty high rating. IMDb.
That is very high.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
I think it's considered a classic.
Well, it says it's got 4 wins and 1 nomination under awards. The Bodile Awards, Cannes Film Festival, the Mexican Cinema Journalists.
Yeah, I'm sure it won some Mexican awards.
Wait, can you tell me again how you found this thing? What was the link?
So I watched a movie called... Oh, shit, what was that movie called? I can't remember I gotta look it up. I'm too old to remember what the movie's called. God damn it, what was that movie called? It was a movie that takes place on an airplane.
Is it modern or is it old?
It's modern. I'm going to look it up. Spanish airplane.
Oh, it's another subtitle.
Comedy. It's a comedy, though.
What gets you to go for these things in the first place?
There we go. It's called I'm So Excited.
I'm So Excited.
Yeah, 2013. I don't remember why I watched this. So it's a comedy. So the one that I originally watched, it's a comedy that takes place on an airplane where, what was the concept? They're not able to land the airplane for some reason. I don't remember what the reason was now. So basically they're stuck in a hovering pattern above the airport. So they're flying around in circles for a few hours. And it's just about all the people on the, mostly the people in first class. And the flight attendants and the pilots of the plane.
Did you rent this or what did you do?
Yeah, I think that was probably from the library.
Oh.
Like all of these were. So I watched that, and then in the special features, the director said that it was kind of like The Exterminating Angel. Although the only connection between the two is they're both like...
Can't escape the
movies.
Room.
Yeah, both yeah. movies just take place in one room.
They have a new horror movie coming out called The Escape Room or something like that. Which is based on those escape rooms that you have.
Yeah. Oh, so is that people go to an escape room and then find out the stuff is real?
Yeah.
They're really
yeah.
trapped and...
But it's like an extravagant escape room, like when they go outside and there's snow and they're really trapped in that area.
Oh, that's like an interdimensional.
Yeah, it's like an interdimensional escape room. Like I don't know how they physically do it, but it has like weather conditions and all kinds of craziness.
So that's good. So at first they're like, wow, this is the greatest escape room I've ever been in. This place is amazing.
Until they're dying.
And then they start dying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to see that.
It's a Blumhouse, too, I'm sure. They corner the market on the horror.
Hey, they know what they're doing, apparently.
What are they, though? Are they like the distributor? What is Blumhouse?
I assume production.
But you always seem like they're like part of it. I never
Yeah, they're
know what they are.
production.
Yeah. I wonder how they, I
Oh,
wonder
they did
how,
Get Out.
yeah, they did.
Dang,
So they've been
nice.
making like a boatload of money lately. So you want your Santa movie to go to Blumhouse, even though it's,
I just need to have some people get killed in
yeah, you just gotta put like the horror twist in it. It sounds like a happy movie until somebody dies.
I could do an edit. All I gotta do is go through it and just kill some people as I go as it goes along, and at the end reveal who's killing them.
Yeah, and then say Merry Christmas, and then everybody goes home with
Merry
a
Christmas,
happy,
motherfuckers.
yeah.
And everyone feels good. It's a feel-good movie at the end.
Wow, these ones really came. I was like sarcastically asking for something pretentious, and you gave me two of them that were like
The comedy isn't pretentious. It
it
just
is in this case. If any of you people that listen, all you five listeners that listen to Geek Brunch, if you've heard of these movies, I Am So Excited or Exterminating Angel, I want to know.
I guarantee someone has heard of Exterminating Angel.
Let me know. Reed, have you heard of these things? Any listeners? Martin's
Probably
really
is there. Mick has
worldly.
probably heard of Exterminating Angel.
I bet you money he hasn't.
Other one I don't know if anyone's heard of, but that's not pretentious. That's just a comedy. And there's lots of stuff about. There's lots of gay humor and lots of drug humor and sex humor. It's
Rated?
definitely, it's not
What is
pretentious.
the rating on these movies? Well, I'm sure the black and white ones all ages.
Yeah, that was just not rated. I
I'm
don't think
so
they'd.
excited. Oh, it's rated R. That
That was
one's
rated R.
nasty.
Yeah, there was lots of drugs and drinking.
Wow, that's crazy. What else do you got?
I watched movie wise
Or TV, I don't care.
TV wise I'm watching well, to stick with the horror theme, I'm watching that Hill House movie
Oh,
TV show on
I
Netflix.
did watch that one. I watched the first one.
I watched the first three or maybe
Yeah.
four.
How many episodes are there?
Think there's 10.
Oh. Yeah, me and Barb liked it.
Yeah, it's good.
The Haunting of Hill House.
It's good. It's kind of like it's kind of like This Is Us as a horror show. If This Is Us was about a family with ghosts in their house. That's how I describe it.
There's one scene that really, like, I think it captured something very unique in horror. And it's the scene where the girl is talking about, the woman with the broken neck or the side neck, or I don't care, remember what it is.
Bent neck.
Bent neck. And later on, I think it's like another night, they're all asleep. And the father comes into the bedroom of the oldest son. I found that part terrifying because the kid doesn't know like what's going on, and he just says, he like locks the door behind him and he says, "Okay, we're gonna make a run for it, son. And whatever you do, I don't want you to open your eyes. Like
Don't open your
you
eyes.
keep your eyes closed." And oh shit, like when they start to run, and in the background you see that woman, which I imagine is the wife, just moving like really fast. And they're like running down the stairs, and they're like, "Where's mom?" The kids are like, "Where's mom? Let's, we got to go back in the house and get mom." And he's like, "No, we have to leave now." That is pretty fucking freaky. And the thing I liked about it too, it's not like most horror movies where they're like, "Oh, I gotta go back and get mom," and they do go back. This guy was like frightened. Like he was like,
Fuck this, we're out of here.
I gotta get my kids out of here." And it
Yeah,
was
that was his
really good.
priority, was saving the kids.
And the other one is when the guy gets back to his apartment, and the father's talking to him about the sister. He basically says, you know, we have to all get together again. He gets on a plane to go back to see the sister, and it's like the brother's in his apartment. He's stealing shit because he's obviously got a drug problem, probably for a very good reason. I imagine he's messed up from everything that's happened and everything that he saw. Like
Yeah, you find out in later episodes
but you know, like
how he got to that point.
he's in his own apartment, you know, like returning his camera, and he's like, I want to keep my iPad because he needs it because that's where he writes books, I guess. And he's like there. And he's in the room, and the father calls, and you know his sister's there, and he's kind of like staring right at her, and the father's like, "Your sister's dead," and he's like, "Motherfucker, she's right here with me, son of a bitch!" Holy shit! Yeah, it was really well done, and I thought the actors were really good. The only problem that me and Barb had with it, and
I know what it's going to be, but say it and I'll tell you if it's
Well,
the same.
when we watched the first episode, we had trouble detecting time because the father looked like the son, and all the sisters looked like the sisters, and I
That's the
couldn't
one thing
tell.
I don't like is the two sisters.
They
They
look
look so similar.
identical.
It's hard to,
Yeah.
it's really hard to get them straight.
But even the son, like the older son, like until they had like Timothy Hutton, he looked like the father in the past. So I couldn't like tell. I wonder if they purposely did that, but it was like really hard to tell because of the time going back and forth and you not really knowing the time was going back and forth. Like
At first, yeah.
it was really hard to tell until towards the, I think it was like three quarters of the way in, we were like, okay, now we know who these people are. And the fact that the sisters look so damn identical, we had such a hard time telling them apart.
I still have trouble with the two sisters. I think I got it now, but
Yeah.
I mean they're different, but when they jump back and forth, it's yeah, it's hard to.
It
They should have.
seems like you want to vary like height and just a
Yeah,
little
they
bit
should have
of
done something. They have
and
the
just
same eye
like a
color.
little
They're very
eye
similar.
color or something, but god damn, it's like the whole family looks alike. The only one that you could distinctively tell the difference is the drug son.
Yeah, he looks definitely
He
different than
definitely
the
looks different. He looks
rest.
adopted. Like even when he's a little child, he's like, wow, this kid looks so different than the other
Yeah.
kids.
Yeah, he's the most unique as an adult and as a child. Because as a kid, he had those big glasses.
Yeah.
The thick Coke bottle glasses. And then, so it gets interesting because, so the whole concept, I say it's kind of like This Is Us because it's jumping between the present and the past.
Yeah.
And you see how, you see the character's behavior in the present, and then they'll show you like something that happened in the past that brought them to this point, kind of. So it kind of, the past reveals the motivations for the present.
Yeah.
But in, I think like in the third and fourth episode, they start focusing on like individual characters more. So you'll get the story. Like one of the episodes is about the younger son, like the drug guy. So you learn more about his life and how he got to where he is. So it's really interesting. I mean, it's really good because they have all the horror elements, but to this point, all the horror elements are just suspense, right? You see just like a flash of something scary. There hasn't
Yeah.
been any like real violent horror or anything.
Yeah. I think me and you talked about me wanting to watch this on the last episode, but it wasn't out yet. And then it like was released that week. And then I think on one weekend I was like, "Barb, let's watch this." And we watched it last weekend. And I was like, "Man, this is good, but I just don't have the time like to watch them all at once." Plus
Yeah,
I'm watching another
I'm not
show
watching them
that's
all at once, yeah.
The, you,
I
you know,
try to.
you know the thing that I like about how DC Universe is launching them is because it keeps up with one a week. Like it'll launch one a week. I think this is like the way Hulu does stuff. And instead
Like
of
one
launching them
episode or
all, yeah, one episode a week. So
okay.
It's like a TV release. Like every Friday, you're going to get a new episode of Titans. And I like it because you don't if you watch it like relatively within the same thing, you don't have all these assholes that watch the whole damn binge that binge everything and then
Oh, and
spoil
spoil
everything.
it. Yeah.
So like
Yeah.
you at least have an opportunity to I don't have time to binge
Or to
watch
be
shit.
caught up, to be
Yeah,
caught up
I
on
don't
it.
have
Yeah.
I could barely keep caught up with very little. Like I think I'm caught up right now with I'm not caught up with nothing. I've even fell behind in The Gifted. I'm one episode behind on The Gifted. I think Supergirl is the only one I'm caught up with, and that's because they only came up with one episode. And I'm almost caught up with in Flash. I think I got half an episode to go, but other than that, like I don't keep caught up. So I don't know. It's like I have a feeling that we're gonna watch this, but I think it's gonna be like more on a weekly basis. Watch one episode.
Yeah.
Is Melanie
Yeah, I
watching
haven't
that one
been.
or no?
No, she doesn't like the scary
Horror.
stuff, so.
Yeah, that's why I
Yeah.
was shocked. My mom wanted to see it.
Yeah. The Hill House is good, though, because a lot of it is. And then, like, looking at how these events from the childhood affected the characters
Yeah.
in the modern day. So it's a good, real good character study.
Yeah.
Beyond just being a horror show.
Well, the
Kind of
show.
makes me want to read the book that it was based on.
Oh yeah. Well, it's cool how in the show that the one son is an author of like fictional. Well, actually, he says it's nonfiction, that people believe it's nonfiction, but to him, it's fiction. Like he's an author of ghost tales, and
Yeah,
he
he writes
collects
about people's ghost
he
stories, yeah.
collects stories, but he never sees anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
And
never seen any.
the fascinating thing about the first episode is he's the son that had to close his eyes on his
Right, his
daddy's
dad told him to
back.
close his eyes, yeah, and he's never
Yeah,
seen it because of
so he's never
that.
seen shit. So he's like searching this because I think. Like I'm not as deep into it. You're three episodes in or four, and the way I get the impression is this is his journey to see why he lost his mom because it was never really explained to him. Do you know what I mean? Like he chose this occupation for a reason, it seems like, because it's an unexplained thing in his past that he's trying to resolve in his
Right,
own
you want
brain.
there's unresolved issues for him because, well, yeah, his whole family has seen these ghosts and he's the only one who hasn't seen them.
Well,
So
he's trying
he
to
knows
he's
they're real, but he just hasn't experienced it.
but he wants to. Like he that's why he goes to these people's places
Yeah.
and
Oh yeah,
wants
he
to see it.
for sure, yeah.
Like even that woman that she said her husband would show up like he drowned to death and he's like showing up over the bed and he would just be
Right.
dripping with a broken
Water drips
neck
down.
and yeah, all kinds of stuff 'cause he got in that accident. And it
Yeah.
was weird though that night like he's like, holy shit, there's water dripping from the roof. But then his brain goes, oh, there really is a leak. And then he looks
Yeah.
outside and he hears the horns because he realizes that the intersection is kind of jacked up, like for driving at night,
Right,
any
'cause she
stop
thought it was
signs.
her hu then her husband died in a car accident or
Yeah, in a car
something, and
accident, yeah.
yeah. But didn't he say that, like, so he tells the woman that it's not really the husband, but didn't he say he was going to write the book anyway,
Yeah.
or he's going to make it in? So I think that's what he does. Like, I think you're right. He's looking for a true ghost story, but every time he meets someone, it turns out to be not real, but he writes it anyway like it was real.
But the way the last episode, the first episode ended, I whoa. That
Yeah.
Daryl, that's for you. Whoa. Damn.
She good? Okay.
Yeah, she's okay. It's becoming a trademark. So yeah, that and then I was really surprised how much I like Titans. Like it went above my expectations. Like it is so good. It is dark. It is really dark. And the thing I like about it is Raven they did her really creepy. Like, they did her really creepy. Because in the comic books, you know, how can you get, like, this. Yeah, you know she's the daughter of Trigon. But when you see images of her looking in the mirror and seeing, like, this satanic thing, and her mother, that's really not her mother, trying to protect her with all these crosses and saying the. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. You know, like she tries to get the demons out of her, but this demon is really in her. And you have this cult that has members that are trying to go after her, and she keeps having dreams of like Dick Grayson, like his tragedy of losing his parents and stuff like that. And she knows she knows she has to seek him out, and 'cause her mother is murdered. And Starfire's origin is like totally different. At least she only showed up in the first episode, not the second one. But it looks like she's an alien that got transferred into somebody else's body. Like she's in somebody else's body, and she's in this like Russian gangster type storyline. And they really haven't like said much more than that. But she's really powerful. She has the Starburst. She like fried a bunch of people. And then you have a little bit of Beast Boy. You don't really see much of him, but you see him like morph. They haven't really got into him. But what they really did get into is Hawk and Dove, which is fascinating. Like they, oh God, I think they nailed Hawk and Dove, especially Hawk, because he's just like this temperamental asshole that just goes out and fights crime, and it's oh, it's so good. And then they have Dove, and she's oh, so it is so good. I like it. Dark, definitely Grayson is much darker than I've ever seen him, but it works on so many levels. And I tend to like things that are. I'd rather have a comic movie based on the characters that is not exactly like the comics, because I've already read that story. This is giving me something different. I like it.
Yeah, that's what I feel the same way. I say take the concept and explore it and see where you can
Explore
take
it.
it.
Yeah.
Have
So
fun with it.
it I feel like just by watching the first episode that I got my money's worth, 'cause it was only $6. I thought the first episode was worth $6. And when I saw the second one, I definitely got my money's worth in October, so it's like I'm going to be watching it like on time because I just dig it so much. And the music is so fucking awesome. Like they had this fight scene. I love that song by the Kids in America by what's her name? It's in that movie Reckless. Were the Kids in America? Kim Wilde? Is it Kim Wilde? Kim Wilde sings that song, and they have this fight scene with Hawk and Dove, and they're playing that. It's a remake of it. The Kids in America. Oh man, it's such a great fight scene. I'm like, shit, yeah. And they have like, what other song did they have in there? They had I think they had Middle Fingers by Missio and all kinds of stuff, and it's like awesome. There's a lot of cussing. They're exploring. They're like on the edge. This is sort of like borderline rated R, in my opinion. A really deep PG-13, if anything. And they probably hit the R by just the number of F-bombs. But it's good. I'm happy with the service so far. The comic side seems like they rotate things out of there fast. Like I noticed
Oh,
this
really?
week that yeah, it's this week they were saying, well, these books are leaving by the end of the month, so you better read them. And there's quite a bit of them. There's like some Teen Titans Spotlights and Teen Titans book that they're just taking off within a. It's only been on for 2 months, and they're already leaving. So like it seems like one of those services that if you want to stay up with something, you better read it. Like, you better read it because it's not going to always be there.
Right, so it's not intended to be
Yeah.
a long-term.
As
That's
far
interesting.
as the programs, they don't seem to be moving anything out. Like, everything stayed there. Like, I started watching a Superman documentary, too, that I haven't seen before. It's really good.
Yeah, there were a couple of documentaries on there that I wouldn't mind seeing. Eventually, I'll have to
You know what you should do?
try that out.
Well, you know what you should do? This is my recommendation. Is wait until all the Titans episodes are out and then do your
That's what I was thinking,
your
yeah.
free 30-day trial. And then just make sure you watch them within that month, that 30 days. And then I think you can gauge based on what the shows are going to be like in there. Do you know what I mean? Because they're going to launch Doom Patrol. Swamp Thing's going to be really dark. So you'll get the
I
flavor of
want to
whether
see
you
both of
like it or
those.
not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, it's well worth it because I joined for the whole year and I got, I think, 3 extra free months. So if I feel like I get $6 worth, and I've been reading like 2 comic books, and if you think about that's like Comixology is like $1.99 a book for an older book. So that's already $2. So you hit just by reading 2, that's $4, and then you watch an hour program, that's well worth more than 4 comics, in my opinion. In terms of time, right? So, yeah, I think it's well worth it. The Titans has exceeded my expectations. And man, it's got good music. Holy moly. And they introduce this family that is creepy as hell. I don't know if they're from like you know how Hawk and Dove are from the Lords of Order. And they introduce this family of four. It's a brother, a sister, and 2 parents that seem like they're from the Lords of Chaos. And man, they are so violent. Holy moly. They're a creepy ass family. Good stuff. I think you'll like it. And I think you'll get your money's worth if you just try to get your money's worth. It's not easy, it's not hard to find
Yeah, I'm sure I
something.
could. Their problem is, like, there's so many of these networks now that you got to pay for. It's like I barely have time to keep up with just,
Netflix, yeah.
Netflix shows.
Well, the way I look at it from an Amazon Prime perspective is we get our money's worth because of the Amazon Prime. I mean, just shipping and stuff with the stuff we
Right, just the
order.
shipping alone.
So if we watch one thing from Amazon Prime every other month, we're probably making our money's worth. For Netflix, that's the one that we've, I think, been more negligent, but Barb started to watch a show. What is it called? Murder? That one's on Netflix, isn't it? That documentary,
Making of a Murderer.
The Making of a
Oh,
Murder,
Making a
about,
Murderer.
yeah, I guess the second season is out now and she's continuing that. So she's been more into the Netflix. I started Lost in Space, but I think I'm going to switch it
Oh,
to
that's good.
I'm switching. I think I'd rather finish The Haunting of Hill House. The thing I hate about that name though is there's a lot of movies called Hill House. Like there's Return to Hill House, Haunting of Hill House, and this is like another one. Like,
Are they all based on the same
well,
thing?
let me type in Hill House and see how much I come out with. The Haunting of Hill House. Okay, that's what we're watching.
Right, which is based on, oh wow, it's based on a 1959 book. I didn't realize I was that old.
I thought there were more than.
Originally published in 1953. Wow. I wonder how much they changed. They must have changed a lot for this show.
Is it Return to
Because there's
Hill
stuff in
House?
this. Because this show does not take place in 1953.
Oh, I'm starting to get this confused with the other thing that there was movies called like The Return to the House on Haunted Hill.
Oh, Haunted Hill.
Yeah, it's haunted the
I
hill
see
haunted hill,
what
and this is
you're
Hill House. So,
saying. Yeah. Hell House.
well, the Haunted Hill movies, they have like two of them out. So I was like, well, what is this? Is this based a TV show based on that, or They were pretty good films. I remember liking them. I don't think they're well received as much as this TV show, but they're worth watching.
Interesting. I didn't know this. The book was actually adapted as a movie twice, or yeah, as a movie twice, once in 1963 and once in 1999, as The Haunting.
Ah, I think I've seen that movie too. The Haunting.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, that was with Liam Neeson. I
Yeah.
have seen that one, The Haunting.
Interesting. I'll have to see that after I watch the series because I don't want to
Yeah, because
spoil anything.
you don't want like a I don't remember The Haunting being that great.
Yeah, it doesn't get good reviews, so.
Yeah, so I would definitely watch the better before you get into the worst, because you don't want to, if it reveals something that's in the book and you don't want to be revealed, like, because this TV show is doing it the way
Yeah,
better
that would
way,
be.
you'd better to
Yeah, you
watch it
want to
after.
save it. It
Yeah, it's kind of like
would be
when we
interesting to see, just as a comparison.
just
Yeah,
kind of
but
like what
definitely
we've
after
been
you
doing with
watch the.
the hard case crime shows, you know? Like, to me, the movies just don't exceed the comics. Like, the comics book was way better than what we've seen on
Right.
film. With the exception
Yeah,
of
so read that
Quarry.
first.
Quarry from Cinemax was fucking awesome.
I still have to finish watching that.
Yeah, it was Quarry. Sorry, Barb. I can't
Yeah,
pronounce it.
Quarry.
Query.
Query
I'm
is.
writing a query,
That's
a
like a
sequel
computer
query.
thing. Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
computer thing.
Standard query language. Sequel. So yeah, that's pretty much everything I've watched. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I think I have any other. I've been watching. I don't think I've ever really started any new shows. Yet. That have started up. Just been watching. I've watched new episodes of some old show, existing shows.
I started Flash. It's very much in the vein of every other season, but I'm entertained, so I keep watching it. They've introduced XS, which is, I don't know if you ever read Legion of Superheroes, but she was a Legionnaire.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting, 'cause of the way they put it in the plot. Supergirl, I tend to like more because Supergirl doesn't fall in the same plots as Arrow and Flash. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy Arrow and Flash and I watch them, but if you watch one season, it feels like the next season, it feels like the next season, it's just bigger and different and a different villain. Supergirl seems very different from season to season, in my opinion. I might be wrong, but it seems very different. And that's why
Yeah.
I think I like Supergirl a little bit more. In Legends of Tomorrow, I like it when it's more like sliders and stuff. This the previous Legends of Tomorrow kind of got a little dark with Constantine, and I love Constantine, don't get me wrong, but when it stayed in that dark theme, I wasn't too crazy about it.
I still never understand why they had to get rid of their best show, Constantine.
Yeah, that one, especially the way it ended. I wanted more of it. They do have a Constantine City of Demons DVD that I want to buy. I put it on my Amazon list. It's animated, but I want to see
Yeah.
it. What else are we caught up on? Nothing. Bull. Oh, did you ever watch The Good Doctor, the first one?
Not yet.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Watching The Resident. That's been good. Having the
Fuck the resident, man. You
start with The Good
just get
Doctor.
back on The Good Doctor. The resident, I mean the resident. Barb watches the resident, but I don't. We're pretty caught up on The Good Doctor and the Bull. We're one episode behind, and it's probably because my parents were here this week. We would have probably knocked them out. We started watching Fear of the Walking Dead so we could start watching Walking Dead again too.
Okay. Still watching that, huh?
Yeah, I still liked it. This last episode that I saw was pretty good because they had like a tornado that's coming, so you have to deal with the tornado and then you have to deal with the zombies and you have this little girl that kind of betrayed the family that she was with one of the characters, and I think it was just an episode with those two, and I think it was a good episode. I was entertained. Oh, you know what I did finish? The Terror. And man, that is a you have to have patience with it, but it pays off. It is good.
What is that on?
That one was on A&E, and it was about
Okay.
a bunch of in the 1800s, a bunch of English sailors going to, I don't know, somewhere near the Arctic, and their ship's freezing, and then they have to find a way to survive, and there's this like, I want to say like wilt, there's like this weird creature, that the Eskimo people keep in. I don't know what they. It's very supernatural, but it slaughters a lot of people, and then shit just goes crazy, and there's cannibalism and a lot of people dying of food poisoning, and I mean just shit that the elements, all kinds of crazy shit, and it paid off. Like I felt the ending like really paid off. I was interested the whole time. The only thing that killed me was like the very, very ending, 'cause it shows him like just falling on the ice with another Eskimo child, and I don't know what it's trying to say. Like it's something to discuss. Like did he just fall on the ice to freeze to death, or what happened? Like I don't know, but other than that, it was like a great. It's slow though. It is slow. It's all character driven. It's a horror that's based on like running out of food, having this weird bear-like creature. It's if you actually see its face, it's creepy looking, slaughtering people. It's really cool. Dealing with the elements, having to eat your brother. It's crazy. Crazy stuff. But well worth it, I think. If you have the patience, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But it is slow.
Just about survival.
Yeah. I'm glad I finished it. I almost gave up. And I'm glad I stuck it through.
Something like that's a tough sell because there's so much to watch now that people don't have the patience to sit around waiting for the payoff because there's so
Yeah.
many other things
Well, the
that they need to
payoff is
watch.
always there, but it's like how could I say it? It's very suspenseful but slow paced. So it's harder to do like on the elliptical than it is like if I just watch an episode of Arrow or something, you know? It's tough on the elliptical to try to sit through. But there's a lot there to think about and a lot there to discuss, and it is a good horror. Thing that you have that most people haven't seen before. So it's very original. It's very pretentious. You'd like it.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, there's not a lot of horror elements that TV shows have explored like this. And I still don't know where the fuck this shaman. It's like a shaman of the Eskimo people was bound this creature to a shaman, like, and it goes down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
And one time it's passed to this girl, this his daughter, because he dies, and it's passed down early. And it's like that shaman's responsibility is to control that beast. And in this one, it's really not in control. It's just killing people all left and right. And then you have two captains that really don't see eye to eye. So that's really cool too. And one crazy motherfucker that just causes chaos. And he's the most interesting character in the show. His name is Mr. Hickey. And he's a bad seed, I'll just tell you. And I still don't quite understand his motivations, because he does some crazy ass shit.
Interesting.
That's why I'd like to talk to somebody about it, but nobody's watched it that I know of besides myself. So you want to jump into comics?
Sure. I noticed there's almost kind of a pattern to some of our books.
A pattern?
We have a lot of Vertigo books. We have some Aftershock books. And then we have a couple books by the same writer.
What was the one by the same writer?
I believe. I don't have one of them with me, but Eric Esquivel.
Okay.
Esquivel. Because he wrote Border Town, and I think he wrote the Phantom Magoria, didn't he?
I don't know. I just saw... I didn't even... To be honest with you, I didn't look at the creators. I just read the stories.
I gotta look it up.
Well, I have it in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah, he did. He did write...
Okay.
Phantasmagoria.
Yeah, so he did Phantasmagoria and Border Town.
He only wrote the first story, though.
No, he wrote all of them.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. I think he co-wrote some of them, but he was...
Oh, yeah, he co-wrote the other two with James Fino. Yeah. You're right. Let's talk about that one first, because this is from a new publisher.
Yes, it is.
SBI Press. I think this is the first one that I've read from them, but I've bought a couple.
That's Starburns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starburns Industries. Yeah, they're doing the... Patton Oswalt's doing something with them. I don't know if he's...
Yeah, he kickstarted something with them, but...
I don't know if he's on working for the company or not, or if he's just writing for them.
There was a free comic book day version of something.
There was. It's available on Comixology.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I don't know if I have the physical, but I have the one on Comixology.
I have the physical. Another interesting thing that I didn't even notice is the price point on it. It was only $1.99. That's pretty
cheap. It's cheap. Yeah, it's cheap. This one is a bunch of short stories. It's almost done in the Tales from the Crypt style, where you have like a crypt keeper type old lady, and it's a bunch of short horror stories. And they're all based. Are they based on Hispanic legends, something like that?
I think so.
Mythology, or loosely based on, or something.
These are all in Mexico, so I thought I found that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody that's like the Crypt Keeper. It's an old woman that tells these stories.
She's funny too.
Yeah. I liked all the stories. I think my favorite was, God, it's hard on my favorite because I like two of them a lot more than
I know
the
which
other
one my favorite was.
I like to put a little chili on it.
I knew you'd like, once I started that one and saw there was about chilies, I'm like, oh, Mike's gonna like this one.
Well, I even read that one part to Barb where I love it. It's like, the woman's telling the other lady about the potion that she wants to make for this sexy dude, right? Like, and she's saying, you know, they trick you to believe it's an apple that was that they got Adam to bite, and it's really it was chili. And I'm like, oh, you sold me right there. I was like, I got it. And it's so funny because all these women were like attracted to this guy, so they like bring like their hottest dishes to him, you know, so he might have sex with them. So they bring all their chili platters to him, and she's like goes to this old lady and says, I really love this guy, I want to be with him, you know, tell me what to do. And she says, only put one drop of this into his dish, and that's it. Don't do anything else. And she makes the mistake of putting more than one drop, and then
Yeah,
also
she's
putting
like,
some on
one
her,
more drop won't hurt.
and then she spreads it on her breasts
In between behind her ears.
behind her ears, yeah, which is a badass mistake because this guy like fucking burns her whole house down. He like goes aflame,
Yeah, he
and
turns the fire.
it was more of a humor story, and I liked it a lot because it had chilies.
The one I liked was the opening story, which is about the wrestler.
Yeah, that was the one I was on the fence with because that story was cool because it had the generation to generation thing
Yeah, and
going
that
on. I
had like
liked
a
it.
sad, like deep ending too, oddly.
Yeah.
The moral of the story, because it was about, well, basically Death came to collect this guy. He's with his son, and the guy used to be a wrestler, like a luchador, or is that what it is?
Yeah, luchador.
And he says, well, if you're going to take me, I'm going to go down fighting. So we got to wrestle for it.
Well, he wants to make a deal with death because he doesn't want to die from cancer.
Right.
Like
Yeah, he's dying from
he's
cancer.
used to winning and stuff, and he's used to have the ability to fight. Like he doesn't want to go down fighting some disease that he can't win.
Right.
So he like makes a deal with the devil. If I lose, big fucking deal. But at least I don't die to this disease that's gonna slowly kill me. And it's terminal. He's gonna die from this thing. And God, it's impactful from that perspective, but there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, and then by the end, yeah, it's really it went a lot deeper than I expected it to. I was like, damn. Grab me by the heartstrings at the end.
But it's kind of like a generational thing. It's like almost like death is gonna take anybody from this family. Because it goes back to the grandfather, and then this son took it, and now it's over to his other son. And he's not even a wrestler. I don't even.
No, but by the end, it looks like he's going to take up the mantle.
Yep, it looks like he is. And it looks like it's gonna be a non-ending, a non-win situation from generation. Like, death knows it's gonna
Yeah,
win.
death is basically back. I'll be back for you.
Yeah. Gets his
That was
ass
good.
kicked.
And I like the art in that first one, too.
I like the art in the first and third one.
Yeah.
And I like the way the intermission draws the old lady. But
Oh, that's yeah,
I
that was
wasn't
really good.
crazy about like the Hellboy-esque type artwork in the middle
The
story.
coffin story, yeah, I thought that
Yeah.
was the weakest of the three. He started out, well, let's see, bookended it with the stronger stories.
I mean the middle story is not bad. It's sort of like this guy that's making an okay living, but just getting by, and makes a deal with the devil to become rich and have sex with many women, and then by the time it becomes time to pay his due for his soul, he tries to trick the devil by burying himself
Faking his death,
in a
yeah.
coffin that was made from the wood that Jesus Christ died on. And that didn't work out too well.
This is good. I'm gonna, and I don't know if
They had
did they.
one solicited already called the Christmas special or something like
Yeah, I
that,
know
but
in
it doesn't
the
go
current previews there's a Christmas special one, which I'm assuming you can. I mean, I'm assuming you can get just because these are standalone stories, so.
I can't believe this was a $2,
Recommend
though.
it. Yeah,
That's a good price.
they're trying to get people on board with the
Yeah.
cheap price point. Yeah, but it was good. Those are good stories.
Yeah, I have to go check my order and make sure I'm starting to lose my
Put in
track of
the
what I bought from SBI and what I'm buying from another company that's right next to him called Source Point Press. So why don't we talk about a book that I know you liked and I wasn't too crazy about?
All right. I know which one that is.
I love the cover. The cover is fucking amazing.
Yeah, who did the
It's
cover?
from Vertigo and it's from the Sandman universe, House of Whispers.
Yes, so this is one of the new books from the new relaunch of the Sandman universe. Created by Neil Gaiman, but these are stories. I think that these were ones done, well, they're by other creators, but I think that they had like a symposium or whatever, I assume with
Neil
Neil Gaiman,
Gaiman.
yeah, to
It's
kind of
his
talk through the
line, but he's
stories.
probably providing guidance and some sort of supervision, I would
Yeah,
guess.
overseeing it, yeah.
But not I don't know, not at a level that he's credited with.
No, yeah, he's not listed yet as as editor or anything, so.
But I'm sure they had like a kickoff meeting, if you will, like this is where I
Yeah.
think these books are and where they play into my
It's
universe.
probably like one of those team meetings where they kick off your project and the CEO comes in and says, "All right, team, go attack this problem." And
Yeah, and everybody's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Everyone's like, the deadlines for this project are completely unrealistic.
That doesn't matter. You kind of say, yes, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir.
You say, "Woo, we can do it." This one is written by Nalo Hopkinson and art by Dominique Stanton. And this takes place in the House of Whispers, which is it's the house of the what was she? She's the well, she was a love, right?
I think she's a voodoo goddess of love.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And it's very ingrained in the New Orleans voodoo type gods. And this must be another house. You have the House of Secrets, which is Cain, and the House of Mystery, which is Abel, or it's maybe it's inverted, Cain and Abel. And they're actually show up in this book on the last two pages. So, it's sort of in that world.
Yeah, so it's in the dreaming. So this is another one of the houses in the dreaming. And it's the deity of love, which I don't remember her name. Ezaruli. And it opens up so
It
this
looks interesting 'cause she has like a she's drawn initially like with like a mermaid, like she has a fish tail.
Yeah.
And then when she gets up and walks, it's more like a it looks like she's got feet. Least I yeah, she's got
Have to
boots
pay
later
attention to
on.
her. Okay.
Like
Well, it is the dreaming, so.
if you turn into the, like the middle, you know where the
Oh, yeah,
staples
there she
are,
is.
she's
Yeah,
got
she does.
boots.
Yeah, she has legs at that point.
But she like has like magic or something 'cause she does something. You see these like pinks glittery things and now she has legs.
Okay. Yeah, and her house in the dreaming is kind of like you said, it's kind of like a lounge. It's almost like a lounge, like in
Las Vegas.
or like on the French Quarter or something, you know,
Yeah.
where you got a bunch of people, you got topless Chippendale waiters Oh, with the fishnet stockings. And all the people there who are visiting from their dreams. And they're coming to Ezreal to with their issue their wishes of love, right? They want to, like, this one girl comes to her saying that she wants this boy to love her, and Ezreal's like, well, he's really not a good man, but she's like, I don't care, I can change him. So she's granting the wishes of love from these people who are dreaming.
Kind of like the woman that was granting the chilies.
Yep. She says, I will grant you it, but be careful. There's a downside. And then we jump to a family. There's four girls. There's two older girls and two younger girls. The older girl.
I think three of them are sisters, and one of them's the lesbian
Yeah, the girlfriend.
girlfriend.
Yeah. And then they have a book that I can't remember where did they say they didn't know where it came from, or it came from her friends or something?
I don't know where it came from, but it sounds like it's a book that shouldn't be there. In other words, it's a book that escaped the dreaming. Maybe it has to do with the other book that we talked about, because you have that librarian dude that runs the books that's now playing the dreaming because the guy's gone.
Right.
Matthew's gone, so maybe this book somehow
Could
escaped.
be. Yeah, I wasn't sure of the tie between the two. I almost thought that the end of this book led into the other one, where, 'cause so in this one, so the girls on Earth in New Orleans with this book, they don't notice, but through they're kind of sitting at the coffee table in front of the TV, and they don't notice, but one of the deities from the dreaming is trying to cross over into the real world through the TV. But they don't notice him. And who is it? Shakpana is the guy in the TV, and he brings, well, basically chaos, right? And pandemic and plague with him.
Yeah.
So he's a nasty kind of guy. And then we have that alligator guy. Who's eating? He's trying to get the love goddess to eat raw meat.
Yeah. That's like Daryl trying to get you
It's
to
like
eat
Daryl
meat.
trying to get me to eat meat. So
So are you
we'll just call
saying
that
that?
character Daryl.
So this is Daryl, the
Yeah,
alligator guy?
that's Daryl.
And you're the guy, you're the mermaid lady.
Mermaid lady.
Maybe you could cosplay that. You guys would be great at that.
I don't know if I should be the mermaid or have the legs and the boots and the
I think you
fishnets.
should do the mermaid, and then we'll just like have a dolly of some sort wheel you in.
Oh, yeah, I get pushed around.
And Daryl could just come
They'll
in and
push me
like
around.
rip some lobster across, rip it apart in front of you.
And say, eat it.
Except he'd probably do like a steak of some sort.
Yeah, if
So
it was
eat it.
lobster, if it was cooked, I would eat it.
Because you would eat that.
I'd eat those insects. So then, in this story, the deity that's coming through the TV possesses one of the girls, but she's too powerful, and she like kind of shakes it off. But it causes the deity to kind of flip out, and then cause all kinds of chaos in the dreaming. And that's kind of where it ended.
And then it shows the two brothers.
Yeah, Cain and Abel are sitting in their house, and they hear all kinds of crazy noise outside and go check it out. And the House of Whispers is up in a tree.
It's interesting because if you look at Abel. Well, he's playing with two dragons, like I guess they're like little babies, a gargoyles in this case. But what's interesting is there's a book that we read, Border Town, And these little dragons look like something in that. And that it's not related to the Sandman universe, but it's interesting.
Ah, so you're saying that you think the gargoyles in Border Town might have been created by Cain and Abel.
It could be. I don't know.
But I like this. I know you didn't like it as much as I did, but I thought it was really good.
I like the potential of this as opposed to the other one, but I like the voodoo aspects of it. I like to see with them play more with that. I don't know. I've never been a Sandman guy. I've never been.
Yeah.
Even back when it came out, I read the first eight and I'm like, what's the big hoo-ha about this? I don't want to read it anymore. And I stopped getting it. I don't even own the full series. So, this one I'm getting and I'm going to keep getting because it's DC and I get everything DC. So,
Even Vertigo, even the
yeah.
Sandman universe. Yeah, I read Sandman back in the day. I haven't read it in so many years that I don't remember the ins and outs of it, but I really like this. So I'm on board.
I like the art and I like the presentation, but the story I'm not too sure about. I gave it a 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The other one I gave a 4 out of 5 to.
How do you not like a demon coming through the TV to possess a girl,
Because
and then she fights it off?
it's very abstract in its storytelling. Like this is like exterminating angel without the subtitles.
Didn't get that. I thought it was pretty straightforward. I
Yeah.
didn't have any trouble with it.
I like this one better than the dreaming. Did you
Really? I gave both of them 5 out of 5.
both of them?
Both of them. Wait, what'd you give the dreaming? 1 out of 5?
No, 2 out of 5.
I gave both of them 5 out of 5. The Dreaming by Simon Spurrier. Who's hit or miss with you?
And he missed.
He hit with me. He hit. I loved this. You didn't like this? Crazy.
It's all right. I've seen this story a gazillion times.
You've never seen this story before.
I've seen the story of somebody escaping a certain realm and making a deal with the demon,
Yeah, you've probably seen that before.
and then coming back and it biting you in the ass. So
True.
I've seen that plot before, and that's what this is.
That's part of it.
And it's somebody protecting Matthew's territory while he's off in the DCU in the Dark Knights.
Yeah, Sandman is gone.
Not Sandman, this is the dream, the guy in the white, right? Or I guess he is the white. Well, it has to be Matthew because he's got his damn raven. The damn
True.
raven's in here.
Oh,
In this
in the
book.
dreaming, yeah.
And this has to deal with the librarian, the guy that keeps all the books. And at some
Yeah,
point he
Lucien
has to
is.
pretend he's Matthew. But I pretty much described it right there. And that's what I
Well,
didn't like about it.
what you didn't describe though. So at the beginning of the story, there's like something crazy going on here. That's why I was wondering if it was connected to the other story where there's a crack in the realm and all these blanks start coming through, which are these creatures. They're kind of like in morph suits, like they're just all white and they have eyes but nothing else, no features. And
they're like
they,
mannequins.
And they don't seem to have any personality. Well, they're not mannequins. Well, living mannequins.
Living mannequins.
And one of them, so another one of the main characters is this girl, which, what was her name? I don't remember. Let me see if I wrote it down.
I know the one
Dora,
mannequin she's with is, yeah, it's Dora the Explorer.
So Dora the Explorer, every day she, her story is that every day she wakes up and she gets a gift. Like there's a gift in front of her house and it's always something that's broken, like a broken keyboard or a broken vase or something. And she goes around and then her ability is that she can cross over, she can cross dimensions freely where no one else can. She can transport herself, but she can just walk between dimensions.
And when she wants to fuck, she can go to another dimension and fuck.
Yeah, so
something.
She can just go. She goes around sleeping with dudes in different dimensions,
including the devil.
Yeah, so she's collecting memories from the different from people in different dimensions and bringing them to this demon who she's banging. So she's kind of made a deal with him. And then, yeah, you already covered the part about her it going sideways on her. But then at the end, I thought it was interesting because in the hallway of the Endless, with the pictures of the Endless, there's like a new frame. In one of the blank that was with Dora, because Dora had like a pet blank that she was kind of leading around with her. And it seems like he's starting to get a personality now. Like he grows a mouth and is able to talk. So it's interesting. I like how he set up some different things. So I'm excited to see more.
This was a little more understandable to me than the other one. I thought so. But I liked it less, so that's weird.
You understood it more, but liked it less.
I understood it more, but like, at least House of Whispers, I did not like, but I'm curious to see more. At the Dreaming, I'm not too sure, but I'm still be there.
I'm curious to see where these blank things go.
They go to the House of Whispers.
And the art was Bilke, well, I don't know how to say that.
Bilquis Everly.
Yeah, Bilquis.
I think Everly. She's a female.
Everly. I think it sounds feminine.
I follow that person on Twitter. Let me see if I could.
You do? What have they done to make them to make you follow them?
There was some other title that some independent book that I liked.
Interesting.
And now she just posts a lot of the Dreaming stuff.
And I know you must have liked the paper.
I did like the paper. Yeah, there's a picture of her on Twitter. It's a female.
Okay.
I like her art. It reminds me of DeLuca, Layla DeLuca. It reminds me a lot of her.
Okay.
In Shudder, like the way she draws. I had zero problem with the artwork in these books. I like the art.
I did as well.
I just didn't conceptually. I've never liked fantasy, and this is in the fantasy realm.
Yeah, I can see that it's just not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it never was. So it's into a. I do like voodoo though. That's what is going to keep me interested in.
Right. So if they focus on the voodoo side of it, it's more in with what you like.
Yeah, I wanted to get some DC in there, and because I've been in a DC mood, and I had a feeling that you would have bought these. as opposed to some of the superhero stuff. So I was like, well, I'll at least get these to talk about. And I almost went downstairs and looked up number two, but I decided I wanted to get into Nightwing instead, but I wanted to come back down from the fantasy world.
Yeah, I think I get all the Vertigo number ones.
So I take it that you're going to be buying both trades.
I will be, yes. Liked the start of the Sandman universe, so we'll see if I like the other ones as well. So far for me, it's two winners.
For me, it's two losers. But I'll probably buy more of them than Bill will.
That's possible. These ones I'll get. We'll see about the next ones.
Yeah, but I'm buying a monthly, so I'm
That's
buying
true.
them, and if
You're supporting them. I'm
I'm
not.
supporting, you're not.
You're supporting them in advance. I'm supporting them in arrears.
After they decide to cancel the book, then Bill's jumping on. Since we're on the Vertigo thing, let's just continue. And this was, I think this was my book of the week, The Border Town.
Ah, bordered.
This one I gave 5 out of 5.
Really? I don't think I gave it that high. I know
This
I didn't give
one
it
I
five out of
gave it
five.
high because I just love the characters. Like, I love the writing, I love the characters, the art was top-notch. This was a really good book. And these little babies, demons, man, they sure do look like something not like they could have tied this into the House of Sandman.
I don't know. They look more like gremlins.
If you actually turn to the page where
Where they appear.
there's a storefront. It's called La Botanica,
Yeah.
and there's an old lady in there. If you look at some of the things that are in there, it looks like
There's a
that Sandman
Sandman.
mask right
There's a
there.
Sandman mask. You're right.
So between that and the demons, I don't know. It sort of plays into that world, but the lead character, man, I just dig the shit out of him. It's an interesting play on things too, because it deals with the border and all the political stuff that's going on with it now, but it does it in such a way that I don't know. It's such a weird way. Like in the beginning, you have all these people in Arizona, Devil's Fork, Arizona, and they have the flags, and it looks like they're gonna go kill a bunch of people, and they're complaining about, hey, we bought Arizona from the Mexicans, and now they want to be back. They want their land back, even though we paid them for it way back in whenever. And they're gonna hunt down. There's a family. There's a father, a mother, and a baby little girl. And they're having a rough time trying to cross the border. And you think that these guys, at least I thought, that these guys would hunt them down and kill them. But there is like this demon in a sombrero that killed them first. He slaughtered the family before these guys with guns even got there. And then there's a family that's moving there, which is an interesting family because you got the father who's looks like he's got Spanish descent, and the son looks more Hispanic than he does white, but his mother's white.
Yeah,
And
so
it looks
he's.
like they're transferring to Arizona, and he's kind of bitter about it, but he's a kid that's like, just by the way he speaks, he's so well-rounded. He's very intelligent. He's well-read. He knows what's going on. He understands what's going on around him. And, the first day of school, he offers some guy money because he's like pounding on a vending machine. And
he's a big, huge guy with a luchador mask on.
Luchador mask on, and he gives him a buck and says, you know, here. And he's happy, and he sort of makes peace and friends with a neo-Nazi, which I found really interesting. And then later on, he learns that he's, you know, where he's from, and then the neo-Nazi turns on him, obviously, and they get in a fist fight behind a restaurant of some sort.
Yeah, because the neo-Nazi's like, you lied to me. And he's like, I didn't lie. I didn't. He's like, I thought you were 100% white. And he said, I never said that.
Yeah.
It's like, you're trying to pretend you're
but
someone
the,
else.
The he's irony like, no, of not. It is, the weird thing is it goes to show that they could have been friends if he didn't know, like.
Right. Yeah, if he never found out, then
he learned his descent, and it like he went 180 degrees the other way. Mm-hmm. But he was they were like fist bumping earlier, you know, like we could be pals. And then there's these two girls that are kind of tagging along and getting to know our main character, which they're pretty interesting in themselves. And all hell breaks loose with all these demons.
Yeah, then while they're fighting, the demons show up.
And it's weird because this one guy's dressed like a cop. And somebody puts a bullet in his shoulder, and he turns back into the little, like a little dragon, a little demon, and takes off running.
Yeah, he's going back to the dreaming.
That's kind of because there's this demon called Mictlantecuhtli, Lord of the Dead, the king of the Mictlan. So I don't know what's going on, but I do know I like the characterization. I love the art. And
the art was really good.
This story is like I'm on board for. This is a more grounded dreaming to me that I could I could follow.
The art was by Ramon Villalobos.
And the thing I liked about this was it's even though it might go into the fantasy realm with these demons and things, it's grounded in reality, whereas the other two books are not.
Right. Yeah.
There's
no,
like...
This takes place in the real world.
Yeah, this takes place in the real world. And the other place, you have links to the real world, like people paying homage to the goddess and asking for things. But this one is...
Yeah, a lot of it's in the...
This one is somewhere where you could learn the characters that are in the real world. And I dig the characters. And that's what was important to me on this one. And I think, I mean, just by looking at reviews across the internet, I like to read reviews of shit I don't like. And I saw a couple of videos. I never look for reviews of stuff I like.
You know, I'm the exact same way. The only time I ever look up reviews is if I didn't like something to see if people actually liked it.
No, I look at it for a different reason. I look at it to see if somebody liked it and because I missed something. Like there's some
right.
link. What if they saw something and I just fucking missed it?
Mm-hmm.
It could change my opinion of it.
Right.
And I saw a couple of videos and stuff on House of Whisper and the Dreaming, and there was like nothing that I found where it could convince me. Yeah. But all the people in all fairness, the people that did reviews, like they flat out said, I've never read Sandman before. But there are people that I know have read Sandman and kind of were like ho hum on this, like Paul.
Read Sandman and I love it.
Paul read Sandman, and he was like ho-hum on this. And I didn't – I guess a 2 out of 5 is I didn't like it. And if it was any other publisher, I wouldn't continue. I would have said – I would have went immediately and took both of these books out. Bordertown,
well,
I would have
disagree.
Kept.
But that's fine. You like what you like.
Yeah, there's something for everyone. I think I may have kept House of Whispers just because there's elements for that. There's at least the sisters that are in reality. Somebody I could
Yeah, I like the
see.
sisters. I'm curious to see where they're gonna go with that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that I can. Whereas the dreaming just seems like it's all fantasy, like it's all in that realm,
Yeah, it's all in the
and
fantasy
I'm
realm.
like, I don't want that.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I wonder what that one girl, because she's been possessed by a demon temporarily, so I wonder if the how that's going to affect her going forward.
Yeah, I think we've read something recently where somebody fucked a demon. I can't remember what it was, but
Oh, was that a demon fucker, I think it was called.
Demon fucker.
Yeah. Is
I
that it? I think that was from Archie Comics. It
black
was
label.
one of their dark line, like
Dark labels.
Sabrina,
Sabrina the dark fucker.
Sabrina the demon fucker.
Demon fucker. So I gave Border Town a 5 out of 5. How did you come on it?
Got a 4 out of 5.
I guess that was a bad thing to say.
I came right all. I came on it 4 out of 5 times.
I came on it 5 out of 5 times. That's pretty good.
Amazing.
5 comes. I had a hard time getting it up for House of Whispers and
I
the
know, only
Dreaming.
two only 2 out of 5 attempts.
Whereas Bill was all, he has shooting
I
wads
was
everywhere.
it's left and right.
It's like everywhere. So the next books I think we have are Aftershock.
Yes, Aftershock. It's been a while since we covered some Aftershock books.
Yeah, Dark Ark and something else we covered. Pestilence. Yeah, I'm pretty
Yes.
happy with, in general, I'm pretty happy with Aftershock. Like, it has to
Yeah.
be something really. There hasn't been a, I can't even think of an Aftershock book that I didn't care for.
I think there have been a couple that haven't
I
really.
liked her Infernal Descent. The one I was disappointed with was the Sam Keith one.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
That one with the bird and
Yeah, the
the
bird.
thief. Yeah, the
That was
bird.
very surrealistic.
That one I still
Had a lot of
have though, so
surrealism.
if you want to cover that one in the future and you bought it, I'd be willing to.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember getting the trade of that. I'll have to look it up. I'll have to check my
I like
file.
Sam Keith, so it's hard for me, like, it's hard for me to not like it just because his art is so.
Same.
I used to hate his art. When Marvel Comics
I
Presents
remember
was
you
coming
saying
out
that.
and he
Yeah,
was
with this
drawing
little
Wolverine
green.
with the fucking hair and shit.
How could you not like that? That was so awesome.
No, I hated it. I hated
Oh,
it. Well,
awesome.
speaking of Sandman, he has a Sandman connection too.
He does.
Sam
He
Keith drew
Sandman.
Sandman.
He did.
So, like, I'm aware of his art, but somewhere, man, somewhere around 96, like after he was popular, or maybe 97, I started liking his stuff, and it's one of those things that kind of grew on me, and I was like, wow.
I always loved it. I loved this Wolverine with the hair. The
He was a
crazy
hairy fucking
hair.
beast, man. No,
The
it wasn't just his crazy hair on his head. It was he was a
the
hairy
render.
motherfucker. He
I know that
was
well that's what Sam Keith is crazy because he draw like every single hair
The thing
on his
about Sam
arms.
Keith is that I absolutely fell in love with very late was the Max.
I love it, Max.
Oh my God, that is so good. And then I saw the MTV. I bought the DVDs and I watched it all and I was like, God, I love this. Like I absolutely fell in love with it. That girl Julie, oh my God. The thing that makes her so sexy is is because she's not drawn to be like the perfect woman. She's sexy because she's every just she's like a normal woman.
Yeah, he does draw more realistic women in all his stuff, I think.
Yeah, she's that's what makes her special. I like
Realistic in a Sam Keith style, so
yes. It's hyper exaggerated, but the curvatures are
Right,
probably
they're
more
not.
natural than you would see, like Todd McFarlane drawing
Well, even like
a
he had that
woman.
Zero Girl
I've never read
series.
Zero Girl. I think I bought the trade. It's somewhere upstairs, I think. Because
But even in that,
IDW
the women
reprinted
aren't
it.
idealized women, you know, they're real women with flabs and glasses and.
I do own Zero Girl. I should read that. I don't own the original. I own the one that came from IDW.
Was that a new series or was it a
It's a
reprint?
reprint, I think. It's a reprint of the five. 'Cause do you remember that IDW reprinted the Max too? It was called the
Yeah.
Max Maximized or
Yeah,
something like
they
that.
did like a restored version or something. Let me see what I have a Zero Girl. Zero. Nothing. I thought I had a trade. My file system is failing me. I
See,
spread
that's one
thought
of the.
is.
You just brought your pretentiousness to. You never read any of this shit or watched any of this shit. You just go like, I'm just gonna go pick something.
No, I have it. It's just not on my spreadsheet. Go, good luck finding it. Maybe it's on my shelf. I think I know where it is. I thought there was like two
I
trades.
would have a hell of a time finding this. I'm embarrassed to say what my bedroom looks like. We have a spare bedroom. We have two bedrooms that are spare. One people could sleep in, and then one that's kind of like a reading room, but it's turned into chaos. And I can't even walk in there right now. And I finding Zero Girl would be tough. It would be
Yeah,
a
there was two
bitch.
series, Zero Girl and Zero Girl Full Circle. And I think I have both trades, but I can't verify that I have either trade. I don't know what I have. Anyway, Aftershock.
Yeah, Aftershock.
So we reviewed or we
What
read two of their newer
was the
books.
Sam Keith? Do you remember the Sam Keith book that we read
That
from
was like
Aftershock?
the Egret. That's all I
Oh, it was
remember.
like the
Lady
girl's
and the,
name and the egret or
yeah,
something
Ellen,
like
Ellen and the Egret or something.
that. It's not showing up in my.
In your database?
Yeah, but I know I own it. I
Let me see what it's
just,
called. Eleanor, that's what it is.
Eleanor. Did he write that one too?
No, I don't think so. It might have been
Okay, that explains it. Hold on a second.
John Light.
I was searching for writer. John Layman?
Maybe?
Let's see. Eleanor. Yeah, that's what it is. Eleanor and the Egret. That is John Layman. You were right. What a good memory.
I'm amazing. It's all the fruits and veggies.
Yeah.
Kids, where to eat your fruits and veggies, and you'll
And
pull
you'll
names out
start
of your ass like
hallucinating,
that.
you'll hallucinate enough to love the dreaming.
You'll be able to understand stories that take place into a fan in a fantasy realm and don't have ties to reality.
So we
But our
have the
comics books were,
moth and the whisperer.
yeah, both based in reality, or at least on Earth.
This one I
Moth
liked.
and the Whisper by Ted Anderson
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
and Jen Hickman. I gave it probably, I think, the same.
I thought it was interesting. Like when I first read it, I was like, okay, you got these two people that are into espionage. Like, one's a female, one's a male.
Yeah, and they're like master criminals, so
Yeah, and they steal shit. And then they
Well, it's
work.
interesting though, because they have like complementary like talents. Like the one is good at hiding and being undetectable, and the other one's like a
Stealth,
master
yeah.
of disguise.
Master of disguise and stealth. So
Yeah.
Moth is the master of disguise and Whisperer is the stealth. Moth
Yes.
is the female, Whisperer is the male. And it sounds, I mean, when you're hearing the first part of the story, it's kind of just getting to know what their powers are and how they steal shit, and then it kind of switches on it and you're dealing with the daughter, it sounds like.
Well, you find out that Moth and the Whisper used to be very active, but then they stopped for a while. But now they're like making a resurgence and are back again.
Yeah.
We find out, yeah, it's not actually them.
I liked it 'cause it felt into that like crime noir, like stealing shit and espionage, and there it looks like they do stuff for money and then they turn the people on each other so they form like this equilibrium where they're profitable and not too much gets not all shit breaks loose.
Yeah, the parents were interesting because they would get hired by different people, but since they were married, they could exchange information, so they would play the criminals off one another
Yeah.
to their benefit. Yeah, it was good. And yeah, I love it when they show like crimes being committed in a comic or a movie. Like it's just fun to watch
Yeah.
stuff going down.
I liked the art too. I think it went well with the story. It was pretty smooth.
Yeah, I liked it as well.
It's Ten Anderson and Jen Hickman.
I say what I gave it? I don't think I did.
You said a 4 out of 5.
Okay. Yes, 4 to 5.
The next one I gave a 4 out of 5 too.
I gave a 5 out of 5.
I would
The
have
next.
given a 5 out of 5. You know what this reminded me of, at least artistically?
It reminded you of a radical book.
I thought the same thing, but it also, it, in terms of art and the way things were dark, yes, it reminded me of Radical. But in terms of how the art was done, it reminded me of Rye, the way Rye was done, because
Okay.
in Rye they have the synthesoid robots that lived in this world, and there was a murder that happened. That's what kicked off Rye. A murder of one of those robots. And this reminded me of Rye. But it very much is like hyper realistic and
Yeah, the art is very realistic.
Radical did a lot of books in this type of art style.
They did, and my only complaint about this book is the same complaint I had about Radical, which is some of the panels are kind of dark.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell what's going on.
But you did give it a 5 out of 5. Omar
I did.
Fancia
I looked past the
and
darkness.
Ryan Perrott is the artist. It plays on something that we've seen before, though. This is very much like a Magnus story or a Rise story or Blade Runner.
Right, it's the
Stuff
future where
AI is
yeah,
becoming.
there was a woman who came up with the key to AI in her apartment, and she figured out AI, and at this point in the story, she's gone missing or she went underground at some point, and the world is now populated with robots, AI robots. But I liked how this in this story they kind of say like there was no, the robots never tried to take over or tried to take over humanity. All they wanted, but they did fight for rights. So at this point in the story, they have equal rights with humans. And there's a virus that the robots can get called Rust. I don't think they say how they get it, though, do they? Well, they say they got it because... Well, okay, so since robots are members of society, and they have to get jobs. Some of them have good jobs, and some of them can't get jobs. And to try and get jobs, they need upgrades, and sometimes they go to the black market to get upgrades. And I think that's how Rust got introduced, in the black market upgrades.
I read more into this, too, that it's like a political commentary on what's happening around the world today, sort of.
Okay.
With equal rights and stuff, because it shows the evolution of, like, these robots trying to get rights.
Yeah.
And other people trying to suppress those rights. And we're seeing a lot of that right now with, like, voter registration. It's ridiculous. Voting should be the easiest thing possible, and instead our country wants to make it very, very difficult.
It should just be automatic.
Yes. But it's become a very complex process, especially for some people.
Although, I do like in Illinois, like I recently had to get my driver's license renewed.
Yeah.
And part of it was they asked if I was registered to vote, or if I wanted to register to vote. I'm already registered, but they could have done it right there.
Well, that's cool because they're proactive about it. That means that they're not asking if you're a Republican or Democrat. They're saying, are you registered to vote? Would you like to vote?
Yeah, if you're getting a license or an ID or whatever they're saying.
That's the way it should be. That is where it should be. And the other thing I like about Colorado is I don't have to go to, like, everything in Colorado's mail. Mm-hmm. Or drop off, you know, you get your envelope. You have time to think about everything. You get a pamphlet about what everything is about.
Facts, oh, for voting,
at
you
least
mean?
The facts, yeah. And then you go fill in your voting thing and then go deliver it to these safety deposit boxes, you know.
Okay, that's cool.
And that helps out a lot because earlier in my voting career, there were times I couldn't get to a voting machine because of some work-related activity.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can always, I'm always guaranteed to vote.
Yeah, we have the vote by mail you can do. Which we do the vote by mail for the non-presidential elections just because that gives us time to research.
Yeah.
All the candidates that we know nothing about.
So that's what this book reminded me of it.
I mean, that's one of the things you can do with science fiction. I think one of the things that's done in science fiction is it provides an analog to socio-political problems and allows you to tell stories and investigate socio-political issues in an alternate universe. I mean, that was the whole thing behind, like, Star Trek, right? It was tackling a lot of social issues and racial issues. I mean, the comics, too.
Yep.
All these fantasy stories.
So this one was interesting, too, in the fact that in the middle part of the story, there's a bunch of these AI robots that kind of are going to rob something.
Yeah, they're criminals.
They're criminals. And one of those robots kind of sacrifices himself to get caught so the others can get away.
Yeah, it tells the others to take off and he stays.
When he gets caught, that corporation gets to him and they start doing stuff to him, and he keeps on, like, data looping, saying weird stuff that he knows that woman that you just mentioned.
Yeah, the creator.
Dr. Tremor. He keeps on saying that. And because of that link, the lead corporation guy actually knocks out the one doctor that heard all this. So he, like, knows more than he's playing out.
Right, and the Well, the I don't know if she's a doctor or nurse, but she's at this Rust hospital,
She's
and she's
AI,
a
though. You
yeah,
could
she's
tell.
AI because the story actually opens with her getting born or not getting born but being created, and the criminal robot like downloads something into her at one point.
Yeah.
So I think she now has some information embedded in her about the creator. Yeah, the corporation doesn't want any existence of the creator to be known. I liked it. It was a good story.
I did too. I think I like this one slightly more than Moth and Whisper. So if I had to rank them, my favorite was Border Town, and then this one, Volition, and then probably Moth and Whisper, and then the Tales from the Crypt one, and then the last two would be
Sandman ones.
Sandman ones, yeah. Except I liked House of Whispers better than The Dreaming.
Don't know what my order. Well, I guess my order would be.
What was your top one at least?
Think
You
the
had
dream. I
several
think I'd
five
put
out of five.
Dreaming. I'll put Dreaming at the top. I would say Dreaming, then Volition, and then House of Whispers. Then Phantomagoria, then Moth and Whisper, and then Border Town.
Wow, so my that's awesome because my first is your last and my last is your first. That's got to be a first for us.
Might be.
That could be.
But all mine were 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5, so the difference between them was minute. You had a bigger range than I did.
Yeah, I don't usually give 2 out of 5s. I
I
don't
think
like
you're unfairly. Two out
I
of
don't think
five is
it's un I
low.
don't think it's unfair. I just don't think it's good to throw a number one at me and not explain anything. And that's what I felt these ones did. They threw number ones at me and didn't explain anything.
Explain the world.
No, I don't know the world of the dreaming. I still don't know it.
Fair point.
They threw me in a situation where two books are tied together and I don't even know how they're tied together. All I know is that Cain and Abel seem to know what's going on, but nobody else does. It's weird because Cain and Abel originally, they are more like the Crypt Keeper and for stories back in the 70s and 80s, you know? They were the host of the book, and they introduced you to a tale, and you read the tale, and it was very Tales of the Crypt type stories. And then Neil Gaiman had to go and fuck him up. No, I'm just kidding.
He took them and made them his
I
own.
like what they're doing with the House of Mystery and House of Secrets in the DCU for like Justice League Dark and stuff like that. But when it's in this fantasy realm, I don't know. I'll be curious to see if Lucifer, on the surface, I would say, like if I just looked at the books that were being published, I'd say Lucifer is probably the one I'm going to like the most. And because it has that religion thing in it, I like that. And probably Books of Magic will be the next one, and then I don't know. And it's what I read in the past that I've liked. I've liked Lucifer and liked I've liked Books of Magic, but haven't cared for the Sandman books. And I didn't even buy the first volume of The Dreaming, so I couldn't tell you. And was there a House of Whispers before? I don't think so. House of Whispers. No, that's the first one.
Yeah, not that I'm aware.
There was a Steven Seagal House of Secrets, And I never read that.
There's a House of Secrets. I have that. I haven't read it. I think I have it.
Yeah, that,
go to my
that
file.
Was like 25
House of Secrets.
Issues.
Oh, I only have a couple issues of that.
They have a House of Mystery? Second series. Yeah, they did. Oh, that one was good.
That one
House,
went on for a while.
House of
that was
Mystery.
The one that had like the.
That was
story
Matthew
in the middle.
Well, Matthew Sturgis, we'll say Lila Sturgis.
Lila
now.
Sturgis, yeah.
But Lila Sturgis did that one, and that one was good. I liked House of Mystery. That was when it was like they would all go in there and tell stories.
Yeah, so there's a
were.
Story embedded in the story.
Yeah, a story embedded in the story. That was awesome. That one I really liked, House of Mystery.
Yeah, I have almost every episode or issue of that. I'm only missing a couple.
I think I have the whole thing. That one ran the longest. That was almost 50 issues. 42 issues and a couple annuals.
Yeah.
What year? 2008 to 2011. That's interesting. That almost makes my retro review. Just almost.
Couple years, I will.
Yeah. Who was the Dreaming by? The Dreaming, the original. Dreaming. That was Terry.
That I can't tell you.
Terry Labon and Peter Hogan. And Caitlin Kernan. Interesting.
Yeah, I have a bunch of Dreaming. That was a lot of issues.
60 issues. Holy moly.
Yeah,
I have nothing of the Dreaming. Nothing.
I only have around 10 issues of it.
So Morpheus is Matthew, the Sandman, and Daniel is the successor, right? Daniel's the guy in white. And I can't remember much about him. I have to complete my Sandman, though. That's going to be... See, I'm missing issue... Well, I'm missing issue 4. That sucks. That's the first appearance of Lucifer.
Oh, I was going to say, if you have the first 8, you're in good shape.
Well, Sandman, let me just go through it. I have 1 through 8, except minus 4. And then I have everything up until 48. I'm missing 48. And then I'm missing 57. And then I don't have anything after 64. Yeah. Ooh. So I have most of the run, even though I didn't read it. I read 1 through 8, and then I just kept buying it, and I didn't even like it. But Barb was reading it at the time. I think that's why I kept it going. But she's not that fond of it. And she likes Vertigo. Like, she's read Scalped. We were even talking about... She's read The Losers, because The Losers movie was on the other night. And that's such a good movie, man. The Andy Diggle Losers. Oh, God, it's
good. I never saw that movie.
So
is it streaming
good.
Somewhere?
Well, it has Chris Evans. It has the guy that's in Walking Dead that plays... what does he play? One of the bad guys. I can't remember. Oh, he's also the comedian in Watchmen. He's the main character that's in The Losers, but it is a man, that's a good movie. It has Zoe, what's her name, that's in the Star Trek movies and also in Guardians of the Galaxy, Zoe.
Yeah.
I can't remember her
Saldana.
Last name. Saldana, there you go. But The Losers is a okay, I love the original Losers. That's the military Losers that came in the DC Comics.
Yeah.
And they revamped the Losers. I was like, fuck, this isn't the Losers. But I was like, god damn, this is an awesome comic book. So that is like It's an awesome comic book. I highly recommend The Losers. And the movie. The movie's fantastic. You should check it out.
I'll have to. What do I have of the comic? JJKL. Losers. Losers. Oh, I got two issues.
Number
Forget
one.
it. I got the reprint of number one and number 20. Pathetic.
Yeah, it's like a modern day take on the Losers. So, yeah, it was good. They had really good actors in this movie. Yeah, you should put that on your library pulls.
Yeah, it seems like a strong cast.
Very strong cast. Plus, it's like act like really good action like in it. And it has good humor too. It's just it's a good movie. Plus, to read, you should read this thing. Me and Barb loved it. So Barb has read like that, The Exterminators. That was a Simon Oliver comic book from Vertigo. She liked that.
I think I have a complete run of that. They're close to.
Exterminators is good. I love that one. That is very original.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What was the other one that she read? Oh, DMZ. I think DMZ is her favorite. She loved Brian Wood's DMZ.
I never finished that. I need to. I have the trades.
I haven't either. She started Scalped but didn't finish it. She read all of Fables that I know of. She loved Matthew, Lila Sturgis's, was it Jack of Fables?
Yeah, Jack of
Yeah, Jack of
Fables.
Fables. So she loved
Yeah, that
that
was
one.
good.
Like, she was happy. We met Lila when she was Matthew at a comic. It was a small comic convention. There's a sci-fi convention in Denver, and it has like just a one room thing in a hotel for comic books. And we got
Yeah.
to talk to Lila there many, many years ago. And she at the time she was like really big into Jack of Fables, so
Yeah, I remember that.
yeah. So Barb likes the Vertigo. She even liked Xenoscope. She read like the first three volumes of Grimm Fairy Tales. And that's why I tell people like Grimm Fairy Tales is not what the covers
The
represent.
covers,
It
yeah.
is not that. People like you could tell when somebody doesn't read Grimm Fairy Tales. 'Cause they just shit all over it like it's
TNA.
yeah, like it's TNA, but it is not TNA. There's a lot of story and continuity with that world.
I try to pick those up when I see them.
I buy most of Xenoscope. I have most of Grimm Fairy Tales except for the very first one when I bought the trades. Their trades though weren't put together well. I
Oh,
have
they've fallen
pages
apart.
coming. Yeah,
Yeah.
because I
The
read it and then
glue.
Barb read it and it started to the glue started to come. I hate when the glue starts to or the pages just come out. But yeah, there's some good Vertigo stuff that I have loved. I think I've loved more of the things like The Losers and Scalped. Those are the type of Vertigo series that I navigate. 100 Bullets, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the more, well, crime and.
Yeah, with the exception of Swamp Thing and Animal Man, those are the two superhero-esque ones that I loved. I read
Right. Those ones that
Morrison's
crossed over.
Doom Patrol,
Doom
but
Patrol.
it was
Yeah,
a
that was a
little too
Vertigo.
weird. A little too weird. And I'm starting to reread it now though that 'cause it's on the app. The DC Universe.
Okay.
So I'm trying to revisit it and see how it reads now 'cause I'm a very different person than I was back then.
So you don't have all of them?
I have all of them until the Rachel Pollack took over.
Okay.
But I don't want to lift.
I'm only missing, let me see. 2, 3, 4, 5 issues. I should just get those stupid 5 issues.
You should. I mean, you should go on mycomicshop.com. A matter of fact, I am going on there today because they told me these books you've been looking at forever are there now. So I'm not going to tell you what they are because you'll probably try to swipe them from me. But
I won't. What are they?
I'm not going to tell you. But I am going to.
I probably
place,
don't need those. Do
I'm
I need
probably,
them?
Yeah, you need them.
But
I am gonna place an order today, probably. Just because the books that I've been looking at them forever, like trying to get them.
Oh, after you order them, you need to let me know what they were.
I will once I know that they're shipping.
Well, you can say it now and just don't release this episode until after they shipped.
No, but then you can go online. You can say it now.
I won't listen to the episode until after they've shipped.
Well, let me just say, I think that you'd be interested in them, but I don't think it's something you're actively pursuing.
Okay. I'm curious. Yeah, let me know after you.
But the creator, we cover a lot on this podcast, so.
Well, that could be the numerous creators.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know, because maybe it's something I need to get.
Man, I need to go put some nails in this fence. There's a lot of loose wood. That sucks.
Get on it.
Yeah, I better do that. We need a new fence eventually. Get probably 2 years from now and just have them total it and redo it. Any food that you've... Daryl always says on Twitter that he's very interested in what food you eat.
I made baked beans yesterday.
Oh, there's the beans again.
They're delicious. I had some for breakfast.
Baked beans for breakfast. How about that?
Baked beans and eggs. That's a very British breakfast.
I don't know about that.
It is. Look it up. British back breakfast.
Do you put brown baked sugar beans in your baked beans?
I do put brown sugar. Yeah. Molasses.
If you don't put brown sugar in your baked beans, they're not worth the...
They're not really baked beans.
They're not really baked beans.
I got some good... I make good baked beans. No tomato products in it.
We put ketchup sometimes.
I don't put ketchup. Mustard.
Ketchup, bacon...
I don't put bacon.
Well, we have Bird Dog Barbecue, and they make the best. But they have their own barbecue sauce in it, which is Oklahoma style. And then they put shredded brisket and pork in there. Oh, God, it's so good. Mmm. Makes you want to read the beef again.
I'm happy with my baked beans. They're good. I'll have some for lunch today.
Well, the one thing I learned from the terror, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes me very, very curious. So I told you there's this weird villain in there called Hickey. And mm-hmm. He's kind of like a sailor that wasn't even didn't even have like officer status. But when all hell broke loose, he started to turn people against each other and became an authority figure in the world of chaos on these ships. And in one scene, and it's like fascinating, there's this one guy, this one doctor, and he's the best. He's like one of those characters that you latch onto. Like, he's trying to keep all his crew alive. He's trying to do everything. He's mm-hmm. very humane about everything. He's a very likable character. Hickey gets control of him. And Hickey tells him, I'm going to kill a bunch of people if you don't cook these people for me. So this doctor, he says, you know how to cut them up. You know how to cook them. And he does it. because he has no choice or he's going to lose more people. So he's in a weird predicament where this doctor has to go against everything ethically that he's ever done. And because of that, he feels like he's no longer human and wants to kill himself. So he tells the captain, that's kind of like a slave now, this is the part that I'm interested in. He says, I'm going to poison myself. And he's going to make you eat me, okay? But he's not gonna know that I poison myself.
Right.
And he says, when he tells you to go cut off a piece, because he knows that you're not going to want to eat me, you cut off the sole of my foot, like where you have calluses and everything, and you just eat it. And he says, it's going to taste awful. You're going to have to chew it, but there's going to be no poison in the sole of my foot. And everybody else eats the meat. And the irony of the situation there is that weird creature, then Hickey then wants to draw that creature out for whatever reason and try to like treat it like a god. But that creature comes out and starts eating all these people that have been poisoned. And the creature dies. And that's how they take it out. It's like crazy.
That's interesting.
But the guy.
That's a good idea. I have to remember that could be useful someday.
Well, it could be. Let's talk about our post-apocalyptic world. If you know you're going to get eaten and somebody's going to eat you and you have the ability to poison yourself, tell the ones you love to eat your feet and then have everybody else eat the other parts. And they'll end up dying. And you'll live. The people that eat your feet.
All right, now I know what to do when you're looking at me like and licking your lips and you got the fire pit going.
You're going to do the poison.
I'm going to poison myself.
I'll just eat your feet then. See, I've been trained.
You know, so why the feet? Like, is that a medical thing?
I'll feed everybody else. Well, I don't think the poison goes to the feet, and that's what I want to do research on, because why would they have done this? It's such a critical plot point in this story for them to like scientifically just make shit up.
Make something up, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, poison doesn't go to the ears, so eat my ears. It doesn't go to your pinkies.
It is, man, that show has such good, like, things that make you. It's slow, but there's little tidbits in it that just keep making you want to watch more.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, there was one guy that has a wooden leg. And at some point, he just can't march anymore because they're trying to march to try to find somewhere because their boats are still stuck in the ice. There's no way they're going to get out. And he kind of says, I can't do it anymore. And he kind of says, I'm just going to march off into the sunset and die. And the irony of the situation is he's the only one that found a place where they could be safe. But he saw it like miles in the distance where he's not going to make it because of his leg and stuff.
Yeah.
So he ended up just dying. But he kind of laughed at the irony of the situation. He like kind of like fell to his knees and just started like laugh crying, you know? Like, I'm this close. And I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Yeah. And the one woman that had the creature, the Eskimo woman, she ended up having to leave her people because of her duties. So it's handed down from generation to generation, and then she can't be part of her people anymore. So there's just so many interesting, like, unique concepts, and they're gonna make another one. The Terror's coming back, kind of like in the vein of American Horror Story, where they take
story.
Well, they take another historical thing that really happened. Like, the Terror did happen. This sort of thing happened, and then they fictionalized it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They took an actual event and then made fiction around it.
Right.
So I think they're gonna do that with the next one. If you get a chance, I'd like you to watch the first episode just to see if it's interesting to you.
Yeah, is it streaming somewhere? I know the library has a DVD, so I
It
can
might
get that.
be going to Netflix because Walking Dead goes there, right?
Yes.
So if Walking Dead goes there, maybe they get A&E stuff.
Yeah, they might have some kind of deal.
I'm gonna look it up right now because it kind of ended. It ended about 8 months ago, or maybe 6 months ago. And I just finished watching it now. Everybody's watching Daredevil now.
Yeah, I saw that the new season had released.
True stories of the
Actually,
world's.
I don't see it.
All right, I'll have to get it from the library.
The ter Oh, th it does show up. Oh no, but it's not what I want. Wind River did show up though when I typed in the terror. That's a great movie. God, I love
Yeah,
that
I guess
movie.
that's. Yeah, that was a good one.
I don't like the way Netflix searches. Like, do they still
What?
do the DVD thing anymore? I can't remember. Or did they go away from DVDs
Not
entirely?
sure if they. Yeah, I have no idea if they still do that or not. Because it used to be, you'd see, like, it's not available streaming, but we have it on DVD. But now it just lists like related titles.
Yeah. Huh. Anything else you want to mention?
Not that I can think of. I'm sure I'm. Oh! I did. I was gonna ask you if you picked up any of the new Mego figures from Target.
No.
Or had any interest in
They
those?
the only ones they had at my Target was the Fonz, which I was tempted to get. They had a Bela Lugosi. They had the guy from Cheers, Norm. No,
Yeah,
was it
Norm.
Norm?
Yeah, I think Norm was the first one.
They had somebody from Buffy or one of those shows and Charmed.
Okay.
And they had a two They had a Wizard of Oz pack and a I Dream of Jeannie pack.
I don't think they have a Wizard of Oz one.
Yeah,
There's a
they did it.
Star
They
Wars one
did
or
it
Star
my
Trek one.
they did it my Target.
I didn't know they released one.
It just has the witch and Dorothy. They're in a triangle. It's weird. It's got like it's like a fake wooden play set, and then it's got the witch on one side and then Dorothy on the other. And then the I Dream of Jeannie has I Dream of Jeannie and then her husband. And then they had the big dolls, and they had a Wonder Woman and a Harlequin.
Yeah, I knew they had some.
But you had a Star Trek one?
Yeah, they had like a. Yeah, they had some kind of Star Trek one with a. As a two pack, I think.
I would have bought the Star Trek one, I think. Who did it have?
I don't even remember.
Your phone's ringing.
And my phone's ringing.
Who's talking? Is that sounds like AI talking? Is
That's
that
the robot.
Fibrillation?
Yeah, the phone robot.
What is the robot saying?
It's saying,
Who's calling? The
sorry,
Bear
there's a lot of
Bears.
noise. Yeah, it announces who's calling.
So you still have a landline.
We do. It's just an internet
Yeah.
thing. We do. I don't know why. We should just get rid of it.
That's what Barb wants to do, but I don't want to. I don't know why. I just don't want to.
Well, you still haven't gotten rid of the old rotary phone. You're old school.
That's right. I like the rotary phone.
It feels good when you dial. You don't get that feeling from pushing buttons.
Yeah, Target was taking down their DVDs and books section, and I'm like, no!
What are they doing with it? They're getting rid of it?
And the guy didn't tell me what they're doing with it. He said they're shrinking it significantly. I still buy my DVDs from Target.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I buy books for my niece there, but now I'm not going to be able to. Because believe it or not, my niece likes books.
It's good.
She likes to read physical books rather than read on her iPad. If she's going to be on her iPad, she'd rather play a game or something.
Yeah.
Or YouTube. But if she wants to read, she wants to read a book.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah. What do you think about all this? Physical media is going to be dead pretty soon, Bill. What are we going to do?
I don't think it's going to be dead.
I think it is. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time when these Marvel Unlimiteds, DC Unlimiteds, and all this stuff go, the rest of the industry will follow once they commit to it. All it takes is for those big two, and then the whole world is going to change, because the big two is like 70%, if not more, from every comic shop sale.
I could see individual issues going away. I think we'll still have trades, though. They can sell in bookstores, even though there aren't many bookstores.
The bookstores are going away.
That is true. Okay, well, by the time all that stuff goes away, we'll probably be so old that
we won't care. We won't even know.
Yeah, we'll be too busy with all our existing stuff. We'll finally be able to read our old stuff.
What will Geek Brunch be in the future?
Holograms.
Holograms?
You'll just have holograms of us talking.
Man, your Wonderland body's going to be all fucking wrinkled by then. You'll have like old Nick Wetmore and Martin like huddled around some kind of hologram projector looking at your wrinkled ass. And then my body is a wonderland.
Get my glasses. I need to look at the wonderland some more.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I think we could wrap
this up. That's where we have holograms of the younger versions of us.
Yeah, well, maybe we could program AI to continue our...
Yeah, well, just a podcast.
Yeah, to continue our podcast while we're long gone.
We just feed in the digital comics and it comes up with witty banter.
Or maybe we could haunt the podcasting realm and come back as like people that haunt the podcast. So they'll be like listening to good podcasts and we'll come on and say, "Welcome to Geek Brunch." I would haunt podcasts. I would haunt all the people that edit and put fancy stuff in their podcasts and have like do research. I would go and haunt their podcast. And I would turn their podcast into utter chaos, like I like.
That's right. You would make it the podcast that you want to hear.
That's right. The podcast that I want to hear. Not what anybody else wants to hear.
They'll be like, "My notes, I had them up on my PC, but the file got corrupted." You'd be like, "Ha ha ha."
Crime documentaries. Why is that showing up?
Because you watch How to Become a Murderer.
Oh, that's Barb. Yeah, that's probably it. All right, well, we can wrap this one up. Where can they get a hold of us?
You can get hold of us on the internet. Just go to your... You should be receiving a disc in the mail from AOL. Just load that up onto your PC. Hit the install. And then do a search for Geek Brunch Podcast.
And unfortunately, you have to have Windows 3.1 for it to work.
Yes. Upgrade to the new Windows 95. And load up Spotify. And click on the Geek Brunch logo.
I should check our Spotify statistics. I think it still has you.
Still just me.
You know why I did it? It's because Martin said he wanted it.
Martin, please subscribe.
You said you wanted it, and it's only got Bill statistics there.
I only listened to 5 seconds of one episode. You can also find us on the Twitter. I am at DBM00. Mike is at Mike Myers Brunch. Or you can follow us on at Geek Brunch. And the Facebook.
There you go.
Search for the same thing on the Facebooks. Or you can email us. I am Bill at Comic Book Noise. Mike is Mike at Comic Book Noise. Or you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search for Brunch of the Geeks.
And we want to encourage you to go to Ace Hardware, our
sponsor.
Support
your local Ace Hardware.
Support your local Ace Hardware so they start filling the shelves again. And take away from these big places like Home Depot and Lowe's and give to your Ace, because they'll help you out like nobody else. They'll take you exactly where you need to go. They'll tell you how to fix your toilet. They'll tell you how to put in to replace the things on your chairs. They'll tell you
what flavor of bird seed is the best for doves.
Yep. They'll tell you how to catch a vole if you have holes in your dirt in your ground. So, yeah.
At least go in and get a little bag full of, buy some washers or some screws. You can buy them individually.
That's right. I'm going to have to go do that now so I could screw in some of the fence.
There you go.
All right. Well, you enjoy your beans today.
I'm going to enjoy some beans. Maybe I'll make some spaghetti and put some American cheese on it.
Oh my god.
Delicious.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Say bye-bye, Bill.
Who?
Say bye-bye, Bill.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bill.
Bill.
There you go. Bill. Bye, Bill.
Next show.
Bye, Bill. See ya. Have a good one.
You do. Bye.